Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sweet Spot Support Call. I'm super excited to have you here and to be here with you. I'm super excited to have the opportunity over the last couple of weeks of reading your responses, and I respond to as many as I possibly can on Facebook. It's been awesome to hear some of that stuff. I got a really sweet personal message. Excuse me, let me take a sip. I really see a sweet private message from Barbara's daughter, who bought her the Sweet Spot as a Mother's Day gift. And she wrote to me to say it was the best Mother's Day gift ever and thanked me for that gift because her mom, Barbara, who's in here, she may be on the call, was experiencing blood sugars under 100 when, you know, it's always been in the 140s and above. And she's been diagnosed, obviously, as diabetic. So the number's under 100 if you keep it there. Barbara, excuse me. If you keep it there, Barbara, you're going to go to the doctor and they're saying you're not diabetic anymore. If you keep it there, you're not diabetic anymore. It's really cool. But you got to keep it there, okay? And we're going to get you there and we're going to have you do it for 30 straight days. Yay. And I think it's just awesome. So, I'm looking to see if Dr. Allen came on, and I don't see him. So, Allen, if you're on and I don't recognize your number, just put your hand up like a star 2 on your telephone keypad, and then I'll open it. I know he's not there because I gave him a host ID. So what I'm going to do is explain how this works. I know some of you are new since the first call or couldn't make the first call. So we're basically going to go through. And you have the opportunity to speak to me by raising your hand, star 2 on the phone, or clicking the button that says raise hand if you're in as a, on the web call. But if you're in as a webcast, meaning you're just on the web, we can't talk. You can only type. So that's what we need to make sure. So I see a bunch of people are on with phone calls. I see a bunch of people are on with web calls. Yeah. And then the other, you'll just be one of the many who are on. Let's see how many we have. Yeah, we have a lot. At 47 so far. Okay. So then you can just type in the chat and I can answer your questions that way. I prefer the Q&A. When you look at your screen, you're going to see a Q&A and you're going to see a chat. I like the Q&A better because it doesn't go by so fast, but that's just a one-way conversation with me and you. You know, I see it, but nobody else sees it. On the chat, everybody sees it and has conversation, which is awesome. But if you have a specific question directed to me, we have a new forum. Well, not new. It's not new anymore, but we have a forum that you can use if you want to ask me a question on the call that asks you specific questions about what's going on for you. So if you're asking me about labs or glucose numbers, the best way to do it is to fill out that form. And the way you find it is you log into the site, you go to the extras tab, and the very top thing, I think it says call tracking or glucose tracking or something like that. But it's the very first thing under extras. And we've been getting them in, and I really appreciate it because then I can read them before the call and I get a sense of who's going to be on and what kind of questions and what kind of results you're getting. Because this isn't a one-size-fits-all situation, as you know, and it's just quicker if you were able to think about some of these answers, look them up, whatever, in advance. And then when we get on the line, if you do get on live or if I just do it via conversation, me telling you, then it's going to be so much more effective.
And Dr. Hopkins is here.
Okay, I don't see him.
I know, but he said hi on the chat.
Yeah, but if he just logged in as a webcast, Alan, if you're listening, raise your hand, star 2. Because I gave you a host ID so that you should come in as a host. But if you did webcast versus web call, we won't be able to hear you. So you may have to exit and come back in on the web call, and then I'll see you on my screen. There you are, Austin, Texas. Yay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, now I can. Yay, perfect.
Yay. Oh, good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just fine. Great.
Perfect.
Nice
Yay.
To join.
Yay. I'm so glad that you're here. And I want to share with people the reason I invited Dr. Allen here today is because there have been a lot of questions about lab tests. And I know some of you live in either states or countries where it's not easy to get them because you can't just direct access. And he'll talk a little bit more about what that means. So you have to convince your doctor to run some tests for you. I saw, yay, celebration. Somebody from Canada just got their doctor to order the test. Several people have that. But not all doctors are willing to run this. So what I invited Dr. Allen here to do is talk to us a little bit about lab testing and what the best lab tests are and why we've recommended some of the ones that we have. His company, so let me tell you a little bit about him. He's an ER doc, longevity doc, and he started a company that actually does direct-to-consumer lab testing. So when your doctor says, no, I won't run it, you can go to our site and you can pick the labs you need and get them done. And he did that because part of it was, my understanding was that he was frustrated with people not being able to get doctors to run the tests that we need from a functional medicine perspective and from a true health perspective, but also because of the cost. A lot of people don't have insurance or have a very high deductible, and the labs, when you order them through a doctor's office, are very expensive, and you just pay your copay. And sometimes the copay is more than what his lab charges. So he started that. So I wanted him to share with us, you know, why we have this panel. We created a panel called The Sweet Spot, and if you go to runmylabs.com, if you need to get any testing done, you can either run the full panel, or you can run the panel and order it for two draws, one at the beginning of the Sweet Spot, like now, and one at the end, just to see your results. Or you can order individual tests. So I want to hear from you. I know you're brilliant in this regard about why we need to do this, and why you don't need to do it, too. Like, why it's a great thing to do, but it's not mandatory in order to have success. So thank you. Without further ado, Dr. Allen Hopkins.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, thanks for having me on today. You know, I had originally actually started the ability for direct access across the United States really because of my patients. Their deductibles just went real high. And so I consulted with advanced lab companies. And, you know, we used to actually write off, charges for patients, if they didn't pay, you know, after three invoices, we would write off charges. Well, 2014 deductibles really went quite high, and the co-insurance for labs, or the amount your insurance actually reimburses the lab companies, went down significantly. And so from that, lab companies were now forced to turn people over to collections. And so really I kind of started for my patients, who about 70% of them had very high deductibles, and we could really save them about 50 to 80% on labs. Just by putting everything online and getting a group of doctors that are licensed in various states, we could now extend this nationally. And so we now currently operate in 46 states here in the U.S. where we can actually order, you know, the lab tests for people. And so that's kind of cool because the doctor orders the test based upon the request online, and then the doctor will review just to make sure there's no panic values. An example of this would be, say, you had a complete blood count and your hemoglobin was like 2 or 3. And this has happened one time. That's why I sort of mentioned somebody had a hemoglobin of 3. Well, that requires immediate urgent action where they've got to, you know, be notified. So we track the person down and track them down actually at their business. And we said, hey, you need to go to the emergency room, get a blood transfusion. You know, how are you doing, by the way? Are you short of breath and are you having any problems? And it turned out this person hadn't seen a doctor for 20 years and just decided to go online to check a few things, and she'd been quite short of breath for a long period of time. And that's kind of how people stay alive when their hemoglobin is only 3, because it's a chronic thing usually. Normally you're supposed to be at 15, so it literally was significantly less. Mm-hmm. And so the idea behind direct access now, it provides people who might otherwise not get testing done to get the testing done. I love what you're doing with the whole Sweet Spot program, and I love it mainly because this is such an epidemic going on, the sugar epidemic, and we have 86 million people with prediabetes, the condition that's defined as, slightly elevated sugar, but not high enough to be yet called diabetes. And unfortunately, when people are in this range, their pancreas is actually dying. and about 50% of the pancreas actually is dead by the time a person actually gets diagnosed with diabetes, and they lose about 80% of the efficiency of the pancreas. And so this is why people's blood sugars have, you know, around 105 or so in the pre-diabetic range, suddenly overnight go to 300. And that's when they tend to have symptoms. That's when they tend to get the blurry vision because of the sugar in the back of the eye. And they tend to have, you know, urinating all the time because the sugar grabs onto free water and causes them to diarrhea and lose that free water. And that causes them to be dehydrated, and so then they get thirsty all the time. So the symptoms of really thirst and increased urination are something we typically see after the blood sugars are, you know, above 250. And wouldn't it be great if we could intercept people earlier? And this is what you do in the sweet spot, and this is why I love how you check insulin and C-peptide. Both of these are produced from the pancreas. The pancreas actually makes proinsulin, the hormone, and that proinsulin is broken down into an inert measurement called C-peptide, and then the active hormone, which is called insulin. And, of course, that insulin is what drives all the blood sugar into our cells. And so one of the first things that we'll actually see is we'll see higher levels of insulin, meaning your body is now struggling to get that insulin to work properly. And this happens typically, you know, anywhere from months to years before we start to see the blood sugar go up. So one of the best tests that we can do is actually look at that insulin. And if you do have the beginnings of what we call insulin resistance syndrome or an elevated insulin, you're well on your way to developing prediabetes and ultimately diabetes. So that's when we really would love to intervene. Unfortunately, you know, doctors just aren't checking the fasting insulin. Why C-peptide? I noticed that, Rita Marie, you recommend C-peptide. And, you know, in our anti-aging clinic, we did a lot of C-peptide. We actually like to check C-peptide because it was a little bit more stable than insulin, and so the measurement was a little bit more reliable. And that was the reason why we did it. But the fasting insulin itself is, having said that, is very reliable. It's just that C-peptide is even more so. And so it is sometimes nice to check both of those together. But again, C-peptide is inert. It doesn't really do much. Insulin is what actually, you know, we're worried about. That's the hormone we're worried about. And then you also have vitamin D too. And we love vitamin D because we think it helps insulin work better. And so if your vitamin D is between 60 to 100 or so in that range, that's when we tend to see all the benefits from vitamin D, the cancer prevention, the increased building of fast twitch type 2 muscle fibers, the decreased blood pressure, and decreased episodes of neuropsychiatric diseases, all with those higher levels of vitamin D. But when it comes to sweet spot, we're really always looking at how can we intercept things as early as possible, and how can we tell as early as possible, you know, we have a problem. And that's why I love what you're doing with checking, you know, checking the insulin. So I'm happy to take any questions. I think that's kind of where, you know, that's kind of where I can probably be most helpful. So I would just say, hey, if you guys have questions, you know, reach out to me and let me know.
I would love to ask you a couple of questions before we open it up to folks. And if you do have a question, put it in the Q&A, not the chat, but the Q&A, because the chat goes by too fast. But someone posted in our Facebook group about, we just read an article from Chris Kresser that talked about how a low carbohydrate actually increases fasting blood sugar. And I would love to hear what your take is on that.
Okay, yeah, let me get that. All right, so the question is, does a low carbohydrate diet increase blood sugar?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, the thing is, you know, when it comes to carbohydrate metabolism, really, you know, everything that we eat, and it really, in my mind, it sort of depends on, you know, exactly what are we eating? What's the total amount of all things that we're eating? Not only, you know, are we talking carbs, we're also talking protein and fat. Your body has a unique ability to regenerate sugar, and we do it through a process, you know, called glycogen storage, and then we break down glycogen. And we can actually create new glucose from both protein and fat and then the process called gluconeogenesis in our liver. And so we're constantly using glucose as fuel. So with each person, and I do caution this, we are so different individually. And so when people put out sort of blanket statements about, you know, a keto diet is better for somebody or a low-carb diet is better for somebody or a higher-fat diet is better for somebody, we're so individually different. in the way that we're actually able to use our metabolism. And metabolic flexibility tends to be what works best, and this is why people have really gotten into the rage of intermittent fasting, is because now we're training our body to metabolize all sorts of things. We do some gluconeogenesis, you know, and when we take in carbs, we have some carbs that we're breaking down into sugars. But the idea is if we can use everything. Now, when it comes to just, a low carb diet increasing your blood sugar, you know, I guess the question would be, can a person individually handle blood sugar in general or higher amounts of sugar? Some people are able to do this quite nicely by producing plenty of insulin, and many of us have great insulin flexibility. We're able to shoot up the insulin. As long as it comes back down, then we're good. And the tests that I do, and I know you kind of do this on your own, Rita Marie, is mm-hmm. I do a glucose tolerance test. And I do this on anybody that I'm at all worried about their metabolic flexibility and the possibility that they can't handle a sugar load at all. And so we give somebody the equivalent of a Sprite to drink. We really don't give them a Sprite, but it's every Sprite has 38 grams of sugar in it. So the equivalency would really be about two Sprites. And then you would check your blood sugar before you start, and you check it an hour later and then 2 hours later. And I think you put out measurements on this, right? But we have very defined measurements for how our body is able to respond to this glucose load. Mm-hmm. After 1 hour, that number for sure should be less than 140. And if it's above 155, that tends to be the greatest predictor of who's going to go on to develop diabetes. And then mm-hmm. at 2 hours, if it's above 140, that's impaired glucose tolerance. So 140 to 199 is impaired glucose tolerance, very high risk for going on to develop diabetes. And then at 2 hours, if your number is above 200, that's diabetes. And so our body is able to react quite nicely to most loads of carbs. However, some people genetically are predisposed to developing diabetes. And if your mother has diabetes, you're very high risk. If both your mother and father have diabetes, you're super high risk. So the idea is we have genetics overlaying our risk, and then we are, for eating terrible, for eating large amounts of carbs or large amounts of calories in general that are going to be stored ultimately as glycogen or free fatty acids, we're going to be at risk. So I do think that I worry when people just talk about sort of one general concept, and I haven't read his article, so I'm not familiar with it, but if they talk about how one approach is best for all, that almost always is not the case in clinical practice.
I agree with you there. And what we do, and you guys have access to, we have a document that will tell you how to do your own glucose tolerance test at home. I don't subject you to the sugar syrup, but I say, what's the highest carb meal that you typically would eat? And eat that. So it's not a metered, it's not a scientific, but it definitely gives us some ideas. And our ranges are a little bit less lenient. I mean, it's certainly not going to predict the diabetes like yours is because of that. But it's much less, let's just say, stressful on the body to not drink the equivalent of two Sprites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two tests that you didn't mention that are in the panel, and I wanted to, give a rationale for why they're in that panel. One was hemoglobin A1C, and the other was C-reactive protein.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about hemoglobin A1C. Hemoglobin A1C tends to be a more reliable measurement than just a fasting glucose. And the reason why is because hemoglobin A1C is the percent of red blood cells that have a sugar molecule attached to them. And so our red blood cells are recirculated in our body every 60 to 90 days. So our hemoglobin A1C really is a measurement of our total body, blood sugar over that period of 60 to 90 days. So it tends to not fluctuate as much, and it also tends to be more reliable. And so when we look at definitions, the American Diabetes Association says that if you have a hemoglobin A1C of 5.7 to 6.4%, you're in the pre-diabetic range. If you're above that, so if you're 6.5% or greater, that's in the diabetic range. So hemoglobin A1C is most primary care doctors will monitor hemoglobin A1Cs. And interestingly enough, Medicare put out something about monitoring hemoglobin A1Cs. In an effort to save money, they're only recommending you can monitor this, once or twice a year. And so I have a lot of Medicare patients who want to keep a closer eye on it, and they get really frustrated because they get denied by Medicare for coverage of the A1C. So again, not a super expensive test, but something that now, you know, the government is saying it's not necessary to follow it so closely with our Medicare population, the highest, you know, at risk people. Of course, the older you are, the risk for your diabetes, risk for developing diabetes goes up because age is, you know, this is a, it's an aging disease.
CRP. It's not an expensive test. It's like a $35 test or something. So.
I think it's like $25 or something on our website. It's not an expensive test. I'm just saying that, you know, people are now getting, you know, bills in the mail, you know, complaining that they, you know, got charged $100 or more, you know, for their A1Cs, and they're upset because not Medicare would cover it. And unfortunately, Medicare has restrictions on the amount of tests you get per year. So if you're in a program, particularly if you come and see me, where we're going to be monitoring this thing every 3 months and really trying to reverse you, you may be frustrated because you think that the Medicare will pay for it and they end up denying it. So it is something people just need to be aware of, and you can sort of check this out on your own. If you have supplemental insurance, you know, perhaps that would kick in and help cover it. But more and more, insurance companies are putting restrictions on what they cover. In fact, vitamin D is another example. I just got a letter from Aetna that's saying that now they're not going to reimburse anymore for preventative screening for vitamin D. They consider it to be investigational. So why is this happening? Well, in the broad world, allopathic medicine is now recognizing that vitamin D may be super important. And so now people, you know, who have seizures, for example, are now getting their vitamin D checked fairly regularly. Why? Because research suggests that they will have less seizures at a higher vitamin D level in the bloodstream. It's more of a hormone. And so because allopathic medicine is recognizing this more, and insurance companies are now having to get billed for more and more vitamin Ds, and so now they're putting out this sort of broad-based brush saying, well, it's investigational now. Now, who comes up with this stuff? I have no idea how they get out of it. But once Aetna does it, what tends to happen is Blue Cross Blue Shield and Humana and United tend to follow. So I would suspect we're going to get less coverage for a lot of these really important preventative tests, which is very frustrating.
Which is why they should get them from your lab, because then that's why I set up an arrangement.
Yeah.
To be able to offer people like $25 instead of $100 is a big difference.
Yeah, well, that's part of why direct access testing in general is taking off, is because financially just people are starting to look at this and saying, wow, this makes way more sense. Now, our crew of people, our community tends to come to us because of the education, because they sort of get to know us, they get to know me, and they hear my lectures and so on, and so they sort of gravitate towards us because they want to get information in addition to the test, which is kind of cool. But you're exactly right. I mean, if we look at it for a pure financial thing, for a lot of people, it just makes more sense to do it, and that's why more and more people are doing it. And direct access testing is up about 25% to 30% year over year in the last 12 years because of it. The other thing I want to talk about with CRP, you mentioned it. CRP is an inflammatory marker, of course, and we oftentimes will see this high in insulin resistance syndrome. So when the insulin levels are high, and if we have prediabetes or diabetes, it's really a metabolic disturbance of the body. That's the most common reason why CRP gets elevated. So what we will follow is CRP over time. So if you were to come see me in my clinic, we would check an A1C, an insulin, a CRP, and some of these other things. And then every 3 months, we would be tracking that CRP level to make sure it's coming down as we're reversing the metabolic dysfunction of the insulin resistance syndrome in prediabetes or diabetes. If we're doing everything correctly, and there's no other cause for there to be chronic inflammation, we will see those CRP numbers come down. And there are some things that you can do quite naturally to reduce your CRP. A lot of people will take omega-3 fish oil. If they get to where they're optimal in their omega-3 fish oil index or measurements, which you can also check via blood test. But if you can get optimal there, we'll oftentimes see that CRP level fall about 20 to 25% just from getting optimal in your omega-3s. So it does really improve our cell membranes. They become, instead of stiff, they become more pliant, and they're able to exchange nutrients a little bit easier with a higher ratio of omega-3s. But CRP is super important because we do know that if your CRP is less than 1, that's optimal. If it's above 2.0, then we start in preventative medicine because there is an increased risk for stroke and heart attack based solely on that CRP number alone. So you could not have prediabetes or diabetes or insulin resistance syndrome. Your cholesterol numbers could look perfect. But if your CRP is above 2.0 chronically, so chronically meaning over 3 months, so if we check it now, in 3 months we check it again, it's still over 2.0, you're at increased risk for having a stroke or heart attack. And that's just what the research tells us. And that higher that number goes, the higher the risk seems to be for all cause mortality, meaning we can die from a lot of different things, including autoimmune diseases and cancers and so on. So our body does not like chronic inflammation. But it's not uncommon to see chronic inflammation with sugar problems. In fact, it's probably the one of the most common things. And so it was really smart of you to put that in your panel, because once people actually improve the way they process sugar and get those other numbers down, that CRP number should continue to come down.
Great.
CRP is elevated from a variety of other things, you know, and I always tell people, you know, don't get your blood work checked for CRP if you've just had a recent surgery or an illness or some type of an injury where you maybe tore your ankle, tore the ligaments, or maybe you had some type of a surgery or something, because the CRP does elevate acutely in response to any of these things. We're worried about chronic inflammation, so I always counsel people to get checked when you're feeling at your baseline, okay? So you're not sick unless being sick is at your baseline. That's when CRP tends to be the most helpful.
So I know you have to go shortly, but there's a bunch of questions, and most of these I can answer. One that I would love to hear your response to is the difference between CRP and hsCRP.
Yeah, so CRP is a, so CRP is just a, that's just, both these are blood tests. hsCRP just stands for high sensitivity CRP. It's much more sensitive to elevations in inflammation. And we used to just check CRP in people, but now we have an ability to do high sensitivity CRP, which picks up much lower levels of inflammation. It's a more reliable test. And so on our website, it's always going to be high sensitivity CRP, because that's what we use in clinical practice now. And so it is the best test. So if you ever see CRP associated with our company, your labwork.com, it's really high sensitivity CRP. And it's just the way that the blood is actually, analyzed. But that's what you want if you're looking for chronic inflammation.
Right, great. Last question I want to ask you is, what do you have any advice for folks who live in New York and one of the other three, four states that don't allow it, and for people that live in foreign countries, about how to encourage or convince, persuade their doctors to run these tests?
Yeah, so I think, the real answer is to know about the test, to know what they're measuring, and have a real interest in them, because you have to be your own advocate. When you go in for the testing, it's really important for you to be able to tell your doctor, hey, I'm concerned about hsCRP being elevated because I know that it's an independent risk factor for early heart disease and stroke, if it's elevated above 2.0. I'd like to have mine checked, please. Pretty hard for a doctor to argue against that, right? Now, they may try or whatever, but the idea is that an educated consumer is the best weapon against people that just either don't want to do something for you or they're trying to ration your care. And that's why I think it's really, we partner with a lot of health coaches and so on, because they can really advocate for people. And advocate is really about educating. The more education you have, of course, the more say you're going to have in your own healthcare. Gone are the days when we used to just trust our doctor to do everything right. And it's fair. I mean, I think it's fair. As a traditionally trained doctor, I can tell you, we have more chronic disease now than we've ever had before. And so the reality is we're all missing the boat, and it's okay for consumers to be educated. And if a doctor feels threatened by that, I would just see a different doctor.
Thank you. That's my answer, too. I love that. And I think it's right. And that's why all of you are here, is because you want to get educated and you're ready to get educated. And it takes some work, right? It takes some work to learn and to understand. But it's the only way we can advocate for ourselves.
No, sure. Well, I would love to pop in another time and take some specific questions on individual lab results and so on. Save the hard ones for me, Rita Marie.
Okay.
On the numbers and so on, I'll be happy to address them. There's a lot of really cool things that we do quite naturally you know, to get people in a line, and you do so many of them so well. And so be really curious to see how your people do if they get baseline testing done, which is what we recommend for everyone, to get baseline testing done to kind of see where they're at. And then after they go through the program to, you know, to recheck and make sure those biomarkers are moving in the direction that you want them to move, that will allow you to feel empowered and realize that you do have control over a lot of these things. And again, how does that help you? Well, it helps you best go and advocate for yourself with your people who are taking care of you.
Thank you so much. I know you're busy and you're going to go to your son's games and whatever else you're doing. I really appreciate you taking your time out. And I am going to hold you to that offer, and we'll bring you in on another call, and we can go through some of these lab stuff together. I so appreciate it.
Okay.
I will say that we had one huge success. I don't know if she's on the call today, but Barbara, whose daughter wrote to me yesterday and thanked me for making her Mother's Day. She bought the program for her mother. Her mother, diabetic, sugars in the 140s and up, and just in the last 2 weeks since she's been in the program, she's now getting numbers in the 90s. So we're excited for that. Yep.
That's great. All right, guys. Well, you have a great day. I'll sign off for
Thank
now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Sorry we didn't have a chance to get all your questions answered, but I just wanted to bring him in to really help you to see some of the value in doing it. And again, if you don't have the finances right now to do all the testing, try to convince your doctor to do it and get it on insurance. But if not, no worries. You can do it. You can do it with the postprandial. It's the cheapest way to go. And, you're going to get a lot of information. So what I want to do is there's one person that still can't hear, unfortunately, and I don't know what else to tell you. Everybody else is hearing, so it's on your end. You may have to reboot the computer, so maybe Lynn, you can put that in there for her. Okay, lots of stuff that Lynn is answering, so it's going by really fast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my actually, I'm going to answer these questions that came in about what Dr. Allen talked about because some of them are just real easy to answer. And Jeannie's question about why are the continuous glucose meters by prescription only when the regular individual ones are not? It's controlled by the drug companies. And they can charge more if it's by prescription because they assume that if it's by prescription, the insurance companies are going to pay for it and they can get a whole lot more. So I think it's just that control that the drug companies have. And there are ways to get them. There are doctors who will do it. So if you don't have a doctor that will do it, shop around in your area for a functional medicine doctor, and most of those will definitely do it. Diane says, I consistently test low for vitamin D in the low 30s. Despite the fact that I take 5,000 IUs with K2, the doctor doesn't want me to take more. What could be going on? Are there other factors? Yes, lots of other factors. So your age, your sex, your skin color, all of those factor in, but also your genetics. And we see a lot of folks who have a lot of genetic markers that make it very difficult for their body to process vitamin D, and they need more. I oftentimes will put people on 10,000 and even 20,000. And then have them monitoring 6 weeks. Of course, you can't do what your doctor doesn't want you to do. I can't tell you to do what your doctor doesn't want you to do, but you can make that decision if you so want. But I would up it because it could be that. And it could also be the form you're taking. Is it capsules versus liquid? Do you have enough stomach acid to break down the capsule itself? So those are some of the factors. I'll get to yours, Delia. That's not related to what Alan talked about, but yeah. All right. Let me answer a couple of these because they're generic, and then we'll go to the specifics. There was one about low blood sugar, and I'm having trouble finding it. Question is, how do oils or butter affect your glucose? Are expeller pressed organic olive or avocado oils any better? Oil, it doesn't have a direct effect on your blood sugar, but depending on the oil, how processed it is, whether it has oxidized fats, whether it's been heated past its top point, it gets oxidized. Oxidized fats create what's called free radicals. Free radicals damage your tissue. So, and oils or butter, depending on what kind of oil, can affect your omega-3-6 balance. If you remember, Alan, Dr. Alan talked about omega-3s being so important, and most of the commercial oils are going to be devoid of both of them, like olive and avocado, very little of either. But there's others that are, you know, if you take safflower or whatever. If you're underweight, adding some oil could be okay, but make sure you're balancing your omega-3s in addition. If you're overweight, avoid oils. It's just empty calories. Oil is to a whole food, like olive oil is to olives, like white flour is to a whole grain as it grows in the field. So it's just extracted. There's Barbara. Yay, Barbara went from the 160s to the 180 to the 120s and now down to 97. Yeah, we talked about you. I don't know if you were on earlier, but thank you. I'm so excited to hear that. Wow. After eating even a healthy meal, I'm having quite a spike to 200 and over. Drops back into the 120s in 2 hours. Is that okay? No, we're going to look at that. What I need you to do is a diet diary, and you're going to keep track of your diet. We have a form in the sweet spot on the diet and the glucose curve and figure out what it is. Apple cider vinegar, and you may need to take more supplements. We'll get back to that. Okay, so that's all that was related to Doc. I guess that was it. There was somebody about low blood sugar. Okay, we'll get into that. I'm going to start with the folks who submitted their questionnaires. And the first one is somebody who was submitted earlier but didn't make that call was Christine. Christine, I can't tell where you're from, but Christine, age 62. That's what I want to know. So if you're on the call, raise your hand. Just raise your hand, Christine. Is that you or is that Lee? Leah. 448 is probably Leah. Christine, if you're on the call, raise your hand. If not, I'm going to move on to who was next. So if I call your name, raise your hand. That's what I want to do. Tina, raise your hand. Tina, if you're on the call or if you're on the web, just chat into the chat, and Lynn will let me know if any of you type into the chat that you're there, and I'll go through it. You don't have to be on the call. I'll just go through, but I want to know what your specific question is. Denise is next. Then we had a bunch of people who wrote them in today. Rita. Jeannie. Kathleen. Leah. Catherine. And Darmani from Hawaii. All right, so I'm out. Just raise your hands, and I will see. There's Jeannie, there's Catherine, there's Hawaii. Those are the last three. Let me look in the chat, and if not, I'm going to start with Jeannie. Okay. Press 2, so you got it. Yes, star 2 is how you raise your hand, and I see your hand raised, Darmani. Okay. And Lynn, it looks like a couple of people are having trouble. If you can text them, you can do that. All right. I'm going to start here with Jeannie. And I'm opening your line, Jeannie. I'm going to open up your questions.
Can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
I didn't really have a question, but I just wanted to share that I just had a surprise, you know, I lost like 5 pounds in the last couple of weeks, and I, you know, it was really just like tightening down on what I ate every day. You know, I realized there were things that I was eating that I could take out, and it made a big difference.
Beautiful. Yeah, because you saw one at 160. So what did you take out? Oatmeal and mandarin oranges, it looks like.
Yeah, like mostly grains. That was something that, you know, even the cracker, like, and they weren't, you know, I think I had talked with Drina, and the Simple Mills was one of them. She said, you know, those are pretty good. And so I think I just, you know, got lazy on that was just an easy thing to do. I wasn't, you know, making my own. And so I took out that and the bread. some fruits. So it was just, it just kind of changed my diet a little bit. I mean, everything's still basically the same, but it must have made a difference because I, you know, each day it was just a little, you know, it may stay the same or lose a half a pound. And like within the last couple of weeks, I've gone down probably about 5 pounds.
That's awesome. Yay.
Yeah. So that was a pleasant surprise because I wasn't really trying. I mean, it was fine with me. I wasn't worried about, oh, I don't want to lose that. So it was fine, but I think it really helps set in my mind that just little things make such a big difference.
Thank you for that. It's those little tiny things that make a huge difference and we don't even think about it. So
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And simple foods, like you were eating healthfully before, but it just wasn't exactly right for your body where it is right now. And hopefully after the metabolic reset, you'll test some things back and you'll see what you can add back, if any.
Right. Yeah. For right now, I just wanted to take all that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Yay. All right. Good job. So I have Catherine, I have Clemens Gladys. I don't know. That's from Hawaii. And then I have Darmani from Hawaii. So I'm going to go to Catherine. I'm opening your line. And I'm going to pull up your sheet. Whoops, Catherine. I think I might have just I might have just muted you. So hopefully I didn't.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good. Shoot.
Okay.
thank you.
I don't think I had a specific question on the form, although I'll see if anything raises a question for you.
I'll go look for it.
Although I do have one question that I didn't put on the form.
Okay.
How long do you want us to be doing the, you know, a million times a day blood testing? I've been pretty much just testing once a day in the morning, but I know I should be testing right before every meal and, you know, 15, 30, 60, and all those times afterwards, which feels like a pain to me, honestly, but I can do it for a few days. How long do you think we should do it?
Well, I generally, you know, people usually take doing it very frequently for a few days till you figure out if you have a consistent peak, meaning, you know, the highest it goes after a meal and then it starts coming down. And if you consistently have that peak at 45 minutes, then you can slow it down to just testing it at 45 minutes and then seeing if it's coming down, maybe testing it again at an hour and 15, and then that's it. But I think you really need to do it for a few days because everybody has different levels where they peak. And sometimes it's different from food to food, which is why I wanted you to test it for several days. But also there's a lot of foods, right? There's a lot of foods that you may eat in your week-to-week repertoire that you may not eat every single day. Hopefully you don't eat the exact same things every day. And we want to get a really good measure of what the best foods are during the metabolic reset. Then once you've determined that I'm leaving out this, I'm including this, and you've got a really nice variety of foods, then you can start the metabolic reset and just leave them out and do all those other pieces. Like you said on your form that you're not quite doing the boost yet and all that kind of stuff makes a difference.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Great. I'm glad you're going to order the blood work because it does give you a good indication, especially because you have a tendency to have hypoglycemic incidence. This will give you an idea of when you feel like you're hypoglycemic, are you really hypoglycemic? You know, do your blood numbers really go down? And to see what's really going on like that. I have a suspicion that you might have high insulin based on what you told me.
Right, yeah. And I just ordered it while I'm on the call, so I should be able to
do
it.
Oh, good. Yay.
Good.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
All right. So I'm going to close Catherine. And then I'm going to move her response to the done ones. I have two folders to keep me from getting confused. I have me and then done. All right. So looking at this list here, it's really weird because it just takes a little while for it to Let's just shift screen. I think Darmani would be next. I don't see a lot of the other people, but I'm going to go to Darmani, and then I'll go to Clement, who has her hand up. And if there's anybody else and you're not on the call line, the web call or the actual line, then please go ahead and type into the Q&A or the chat, and you can put it in the chat, and then I'll move it to the Q&A with for me, or she'll let me know. Okay, so Rita sent in a sheet. Okay, let me do Darmani, and then I'll do you. I definitely have yours. I saw it. All right. Anybody else like that, just let them know. Like, put it in there. All right. So, let me have a couple more. Leah, I have a form from you, Leah. So I see your hand up. I'm going to go to Darmani. Hi.
Hi. Wait, hold on. Let me take off. Hold on one second.
Are you there? Okay. All right, so I'm going to leave your line. I lost you. You're gone now. Okay, so I have somebody from Las Vegas. Let me just check. I'm going to just open your line and tell me who you are from Las Vegas, and I'll see if I have a form for you. Hi, who's this? From Las Vegas? I think that's what it says. I hear something. Okay, and I'm going to open up Hilo. Hilo, comment, Gladys. Tell me who, is that your name? I don't have a form for you, so I'll wait and do the people who I have a form for first. Okay, there's
this
no
is Darmani. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're still echoing.
So which should I turn off, my telephone or the computer?
I would turn off the computer. If you're on the telephone, definitely turn off the computer. You're on the web call, though.
Right.
The phone, too?
So I should turn off the web call?
Well, no, because that's the way I'm going to hear you. Are you on twice? Are you on the phone and the
computer? Yes, because I didn't know how you would reach me.
All right. So then turn off. I have to find you. Put your hand up on the phone. Do star 2. Because what I'm seeing your hand up is on the... What's your phone number that I can look at?
Oh.
Are you Hilo?
Okay. Now?
It's still echoing. So you have to, okay. You have to be on one or the other. You can't be on both. So if you're on the phone, then put your hand up so I can open that, because right now I have your web call open. Okay, here's somebody. All right, you wouldn't happen to be Las Vegas, would you? Okay, let me try again.
I mean, this is so hard.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes, that's not echoing anymore.
Okay. Are you with Darmani or someone else? I'm sorry, I'm not.
No, Darmani didn't get in. Who's this that I'm talking to? Hello?
Yes.
What's your name?
I'm Darmani.
Oh, you are Darmani. Okay, I've got twice. Okay. Good.
I turned off my phone.
Now I only hear you once. Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry. I'm very non-tech. Okay.
Okay, yes, that happens. So I am looking at your numbers. And you have some labs, but I want to address the food first, right?
Yes.
You're overweight. You're trying to reduce about 35 pounds, and your numbers are high. Your fasting glucose is as high as 125, occasionally 80. Your bedtime glucose is as high as 135, way too high. Lowest at bedtime is 100, but you've seen 176. And you mentioned that the foods are white potatoes, So we're put those on your eliminate list. Sourdough bread. Sourdough bread, if it's ground up flour, it's going to raise glucose. So that would be what I suspect, not the fermentation process, because the fermentation process usually makes it better.
So there's no bread that will work on this end?
No.
Okay.
No, there isn't. I mean, you could certainly, if you didn't have these numbers, I'd say test it. And if you have like this thick whole grain, non-gluten, et cetera, but I don't think so.
Made it go up to 176 one night when we had toast.
Yeah. Yep, that's it, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a dehydrator, there's recipes in the recipe guide for making bread like an onion bread that's made with like almonds and flax seeds and onions and other vegetables. There's some really great breads in there. So I recommend that you make some of those and you have that as your bread fix. And just test them and make sure. Don't put apple or other fruits in them, but just use the ones that are savory, and that will help you a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you see in looking at those?
Here's the thing. You got to test some legumes. Some people, lentils are good, but split peas are not. And some people, white beans are good, but red beans are not. So I would say, what are your favorite beans? Try them. If you get a few legumes that work, fine. My guess is that you're a little bit sensitive right now. I mean, they may not work, but I don't know, you know, until you test it.
And then grains, a small amount of oats or quinoa or buckwheat. Yes,
you've got to test them individually.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to test them. I would say probably not.
So when you say test them, what does it mean that I have to test them just by eating them alone with no other thing in a meal and at 15, 30, 50 minutes like that?
Well, oatmeal is kind of
it's part of a meal.
You know, you make a meal out of oatmeal, you sit down and you eat it. You can eat it with vegetables, of course. You eat it the way you're going to eat it in your day-to-day. So if you're going to eat a bowl of millet and put a bunch of veggies with it and seaweed and all this other stuff, which is how I used to eat millet a lot, and then test it, right? I'm a big fan of testing meals as opposed to individual foods because you figure out how it works. But if millet works in a meal that has a big salad and a bunch of veggies, doesn't mean it's going to work by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is what this whole month is about, right? We're going to test and test and test and come up with the plan. If you haven't tested certain foods, don't eat it during the metabolic reset. If you've tested them and they raise your sugar, don't eat them during the metabolic reset. If you eat them and they are fine and they are some of these, you know, questionable stuff in the yellow, right? If they're in the yellow columns on the chart and it works for you when you eat it with a big salad and veggies, then during the metabolic reset, you eat it with a big salad and veggies.
Yeah. What is overall my numbers that I sent to you say to you?
That you are insulin resistant.
Yeah.
You're pre-insulin resistant, and not officially because your fasting isn't consistently, but you have some numbers that are going over 125, and that's insulin resistant. That's diabetes. Definitely insulin resistant. Because how often do you see the 80 versus the 125 as a fast?
Oh, hardly at all. Most of my fasting when I wake up is 100 to 105. But here's what's happened that I'm very uneducated about. From mid-January to mid-March or end of March, I followed Ornish program. And that brought my blood sugar much more stable and a lot more in the 90 to, you know, 110 range. But when I saw all the fat, the triglycerides, and highly sensitive CRP, so many markers went up. And I was not a fan of no fat for the rest of my life, no oil. I reduced it a lot and kept it off, but, you know, the nothing was too challenging. But I was eating a lot more grains. So it all went up, and I thought, okay, this isn't it. I heard you speak. It inspired me. So I've not been doing that diet the last few weeks. I've had some stressors, and I have been shaky, and my insulin, my readings are way higher now. They're generally up in the 120s, and like I said, from eating the potatoes and my bread, up to 160, 70.
Yes.
But so I'm shaky and anxious a lot.
Yeah. So I would say with the fats, I don't want you to do an oil. No oil. Don't do oil. Do whole food plant-based fats. So you can do olives, you can do avocado, you can do coconut, you can do nuts and seeds. Preferably you soak them and start the sprouting. Oh, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it just told me my, it said off snap. Okay, good, I'm back. Yeah, so it's a matter of, like, you got to do it all, right? It's not just the one thing. So you ease it in, you do the food stuff, you focus on the food, but then we have to start getting focused on the exercise and the sleep looks good. I mean, you might need 8 or 9 hours, quite frankly, when you're in this state. And there, I remember one study I read, this guy was put on this diet and they monitored he wasn't put on a diet. He was just monitoring with sleep and they got him to do 8 to 9 hours of night of sleep. And his sugars were coming down, his fasting glucose came down from like 119 and it got all the way down to like 95. And then he missed a couple of nights of sleep where he only got 7 hours of sleep and it started shooting up again. So it's really important for the sleep, the burst training. So all the things we have in the foundations module, we tell you the foundational lifestyle habits. Just start paying attention to that. Take out these foods that you found. I would take out all the grains and the starches based on what you're telling me.
Wow. So how do I be plant-based without any legumes or beans to get some protein? Do I have some chicken or eggs or fish?
You don't have to. I've been doing it for 8 years like that. I don't eat any grains. I don't eat any legumes. I eat nuts and seeds and tons of vegetables. Hopefully plant-based fats. That's what I eat all the time. And my sugars are stable. They're way better than they were when I started.
Right.
So
your only proteins are nuts and seeds and, you know, those healthy fats.
Nuts and seeds and healthy fats. And as you're transitioning, that's why we recommended maybe a protein shake to just get, as you're transitioning and making a switch to eating more veggies and more of the various nuts and seeds and coconut type of things. Well, coconut's not very much protein, but we need a lot of protein than we think.
Okay. And what about coconut oil? When I have very high cholesterol, triglycerides, fatty liver, do I use coconut oil or not?
I would not. I wouldn't use any oil. If I was overweight, I wouldn't use any oil. I'm not overweight, and I don't use any oil.
Uh-huh.
Especially if you're overweight. I mean, I don't eat meat. Occasionally I go out and, you know, somebody's put olive oil and vinegar on my salad. But I don't as a rule use oil. I may occasionally use MCT oil, for the ketones. But yeah. So I would say we've got a great menu plan. We've got a great recipe guide and just follow it, right? You're only a couple of weeks in. You've identified some foods and it's going to happen, right? Don't take these short term things like, I'm not better yet. I haven't reduced my fasting and glucose yet. It's just too soon. Although some of us have. Barbara had a great result with it. But you've got to get rid of the bread and you've got to get rid of the potatoes and things like that. Looks like starches are an issue for you.
And from the Ornish, I have to lose the grains. And that was why my numbers in those areas weren't changing. Yes?
Yeah, the grains.
Yeah. And I can experiment with doing a tiny bit of them and see if that spikes it, or just say forget it, none of them altogether.
Well, if you're having a meal, if your meal is centered around veggies and you've got a salad and you've got some steamed vegetables or a stir fry or whatever, and you have a little bit of like whole grain, not bread, because bread's not a whole food, like millet or quinoa, you test it. So you test it before you eat this meal that's like loads of veggies and salad and maybe some whole food plant-based fats or some olives on it, maybe some avocado. See how it does with your sugar. Steady. Then the next day, you eat that same meal, but you add a little bit of millet or quinoa to it and see how it goes. And you might be able to do just a tiny bit of non-gluten whole grains, not flour. You might be able to, but you have to find what you eat it with.
Okay.
Right? And for the metabolic reset, if you really want to do it well, you really don't take chances and just do, be as simple as you can. Now, the same thing with lentils, right? As long as they don't give you gas, which is a sign that your body can't digest them, soak them overnight before you cook them, and then cook them, and then see how they do with you. Again, with that big salad, because that's what your meals should be. You know, big salad and some vegetables with whatever your choice of filler calorie food is.
And you saute, you water saute your vegetables?
I water saute, yep. Mm-hmm. So I steam them and then I add like a nice, you know, nut or seed-based dressing or a like avocado sauce or something like that. And there's tons of recipes in the recipe guide for that.
I had made some salad dressings like with walnuts and raisins and balsamic. Is that still too much sweet?
Don't use the balsamic. I would do apple cider vinegar or lemon juice and leave out the raisins. If you really want sweet in there, put a couple of drops of stevia or lohan.
Uh-huh. And the apple cider vinegar is okay?
Oh, yeah, apple cider
vinegar. No, balsamic, I mean. I'm sorry.
No, balsamic is not. There's a lot of sugar in balsamic vinegar.
Oh, God, that's what I've been cranking down.
Yeah.
I make it concentrated. Okay.
You can do the apple cider vinegar, you can do coconut vinegar, but don't do balsamic.
Okay, this is like the barest bones.
Yeah, and then you're going to figure it out. So the metabolic reset is kind of bare bones because it's really shifting your metabolism. It really is.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you're going to start to test back. And hopefully, you know, the weight is not that much weight you need to lose, but you know, that'll come off, you'll feel better, you'll have more energy, and then you'll go back and do your numbers again. Did you have any testing for hemoglobin A1C or insulin?
Sorry?
Did you get testing for hemoglobin A1C or insulin?
Yes, I just did the fasting and glucose load for insulin, and I thought I put those in. The fasting insulin was 11.4.
Way too high.
It was 102 after a 50 milliliter glucose load after an hour, and the glucose was 97 and 136. So I don't know how high 11.4 and 102 is.
11.4 is way too high. It's more than double what it should be ideal.
Uh-huh.
I would like to see it between 3 and 5, ideally, you know, or between 2 and 5, ideally between 2 and 3. So it's way too high to start, and oh my God, 102 after 60 minutes is way, way too high. So that says insulin resistance for sure. Body's producing too much insulin. The cells are like, oh, too much, too much, too much.
And that's why it's shaky.
Because it's not getting into your cells.
And so what brings that down most is in the diet or the exercise or what?
Five things. Diet.
All five. Okay.
Fitness. All of them.
Yeah. So that brings, okay, so there's one last thing on food question of yes, no. And then my other question that will be of benefit to others like me. So the food thing is eggs or egg whites, because I'm very attached to that. And then the other question that will help many, I'm sure, on the call is when you really become sedentary and couch potato and just the thought of exercising is hard. It's like how to get started, how to do this. It's just a challenge. I know better, but I'm not actually doing it. I have way too many excuses.
Okay, so excuses. So I'm looking at your numbers, right? You have an ANA 350 to 400, which is a sign of an autoimmune condition. Your CRP was 159 and 518, and then 5.23 and 219 and 6.23. It's like get rid of the eggs, start exercising, or you're going to be in trouble. Basically, that's it. You know, it's like what are your goals? Do you want to be healthy or do you want to get debilitated with an autoimmune disease or heart disease? Because these numbers are very high risk for heart disease.
Yeah. And is egg whites in that category as well? No egg white or just?
I would say take them out for the metabolic reset and then you can test them later. It's one of the top allergy foods and the whites are the protein. The protein is what people respond to allergically.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I know it is scary. Those numbers are frightening and there's a whole huge history of heart disease in my family.
In your family. So I would say in order to get yourself motivated and get over that inertia, is just allow yourself to just move for 1 minute. So all I have to do is move for 1 minute, and then you can move it to 2 minutes, and then you can move it to three. But make that commitment that you're going to do 1 minute of exercise, whether it be walk to the mailbox and back, whether it be, you know, do a couple of push-ups or sit-ups, do some squats, whatever it is that, you know, you can do. Do you like to dance by any chance?
What's that?
Do you like music?
Yes, I love music. Mm-hmm.
Do you like to dance?
Yes.
So you go into your living room, you turn on the music, and you just dance to it. That's exercise. Yeah. Find something that you like to do and just do it. Yeah, these numbers, you got to get a handle on them, okay?
You got to get moving.
You got to get moving. Do the meditation, but the food has to get cleaned up. Follow the chart. Follow the chart. Follow the chart. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you so very much.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I hope I can do it.
I'm going to stop you there. Who gets to control whether you can do it or not? You or somebody outside of you?
Only me.
Only you. So instead of I hope I can do it, I intend to do it. Can you say that?
Yes.
And feed that to your subconscious, because when you say I hope I can do it, your subconscious says, no, or is it? No, isn't it? I intend to do it. Okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there possible to ask you one last thing? It may also be other people's issue.
If it's quick, sure.
Self-sabotage.
I
lost 15 pounds in the, you know, I've had 50, 60 pounds food. I lost 15 in these last 4 months with doing Ornish. I was so excited to see myself drop down into another 10 pounds less, and I was going towards the 140s. And something kicked in where I was, when I saw I was down to 153, coming close to the next down, I started eating fried things again and eating fatty things. It was like I was aware that there was a fear that was bigger than the desire to get into the 140s from the 160s now in the 150s. And I do not understand that, why I'm at cross purpose with myself, and now my belly is fat and bloated again where it was skinnier. And there's a part of me that's going, yay, it's like comfortable and familiar. I don't want to go there, but I don't know what to do about that block that I've just found.
I think it needs to be addressed. We have a bonus that's coming up with somebody who's an emotional eating coach. And we also have a call that we're going to schedule. I think it's the end of the month. Lynn may know the exact date, with somebody who does tapping.
Mm-hmm.
And she does tapping specifically for emotional eating kind of thing. So we're going to provide you with some resources to help you with that. There could be some deep-seated emotional trauma that happened to you. And a lot of times, I don't know if this happened to you, and you don't have to say, but if there's been a sexual abuse, molestation, rape, or just getting attention that was very uncomfortable.
That's what made me decide to lose, to gain weight, was to stop being sexually attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that needs to be worked on. That's not something we can do. You know, I would find a good coach, counselor that works with that help get at that and help you release that. If you need some recommendations, we certainly have people who can do that and help you get in there. Just reach out and we'll get you some recommendations.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure many people suffer from whatever the issues are.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
In fact, I just recorded a call that we're gonna give you guys access to.
Good.
I don't know when, but it's with on the emotional resistance.
Good. Thank you.
But what about emotional resistance?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rita, for this beautiful work.
You're welcome. So welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
And just for everybody, the special tapping show is on Wednesday, May 29th at 6 o'clock Central.
Okay. We have to make sure that we have call things out there and make sure that Sweet Spot and ERC and who else gets it? Body balance.
Body balance and NEPT. Yep. That's all been taken care of.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So we have a remove her into the already done so I can clean up that box. I'd like to have things clean, and I have Leah. So I see Leah's hand up.
Hello.
Hi, Leah.
Hello there.
Hi there. So I'm going to
Good evening.
Your reminder of what your question was.
Well, yes. I mean, I did submit my numbers, which it's more to do with how quickly I jump up within half an hour. And I just wondered if you think that it looks that I may be insulin resistant or certainly hypoglycemic. I don't know because I have no idea what's going on.
I need to have my chart printed. Let me open up the site so I can print my chart because I don't know what a 4.8 is. I don't have those memorized. So let me go to I'll just go to glucose. I had a chart, but I forgot to print it. All right, so you're at a 4.8. I'm just going to jot this on my notebook so I remember. 4.8 is, it's between 85 and 90.
Mm.
Okay, that's your starting point. It's probably like 88. The lowest you've seen is just a little bit lower than that. Okay, so you're very consistent on your fasting. 4.6.
A couple that I definitely know. I don't touch grains. I've completely eliminated eggs and nightshades because of joint pain and things like that because of potential celiac, which I've managed to get the IgA down from 20 to 1.8. So I know that what I've done there has worked, but I've always struggled with starch and carbohydrates. So for example, I had 2 cups of spinach, a very, very small pear, and just sort of a very small amount of water to make this shake thing that I did out of that. And I went from 4.3 was my normal, that was my normal at that time. Then I jumped up within 15 minutes, I went to 5.3, and then within half an hour, I went to 7.3.
Okay, so
and that was just on
5.3, and that's
7.3 in 30 minutes.
I need to see 130. Wow, okay.
Yeah, and then another example, which really shocked me, was I use a hemp protein, which I've had for a long time, and I've played around with that in the mornings, and I know it wasn't that specifically, but I had a third of a very small baby banana and a half an avocado and my normal protein shake. So basically, I started at 4.8, then within 30 minutes it went to 5.2, and I thought, oh, that's okay, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hung around at 4.8. 4.3, and then so in two hours it was 4.3, and then it jumped to 4.9 at 3 hours, and then it dropped dramatically to 3.9 in 4 hours, and I got the really bad shakes then. So what I seem to be doing is the pattern is that I get my high at 30 minutes, at 2 hours I seem to be back down to almost my starting point, but then at 3 hours I massively leap up again, and then I drop down again at 4 hours. So I'm doing this spike at 3 hours, and I don't quite know what's going on there. Is that because my liver is releasing?
It's probably releasing, and then you're overproducing insulin, and it's dropping you down. So have you had your fasting insulin? It doesn't look like it.
Have I what, sorry?
Fasting insulin. No, I don't see that.
No, I haven't done that. They did an HbA1c, which I know that you're not massively keen on because depending on how the cells...
I love HbA1c, yeah. I mean,
it's different
based on whether you're an athlete or what. What was the number?
Well, it was mid-range in the UK. It was, I think it was 22. It was bang in the middle. It was absolutely fine according to them. But as I said, I eat a very, very low carbohydrate diet because, again, this evening, for example, I had a piece of salmon, and then I literally did the most pathetic stir fry, as in very slim slices of cabbage, and it had a little bit of broccoli in there, I didn't eat peppers because I don't eat the nightshades, and slithers, absolute slithers of carrots, as in nothing, and I went from 4.2 to 5.7 in half an hour.
Okay. So you're very sensitive right now, Leah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will tell you, this is how I was. When I ate a smoothie with a little bit of blueberries, my sugar went up to 135. When I ate a big meal with salad and a stir fry and a few slivers of carrots, my sugar went up to 135. So right. I had to do the metabolic reset with no cooked carrots, although raw carrots were fine, no cooked carrots and no fruit. And then I started adding things back in and figuring out how I do it. So you're very sensitive right now. I have a feeling your fasting insulin is probably high. Your postprandial insulin is probably high. Those are good things to get tested. I'm looking up the conversion of A1C. A1C, SI to US conversion. Let's see that chart here.
But that hasn't been tested for, well, a couple of years now, because I think it was 22 at the time.
Yeah, so value is 22. I just like to look, what does it mean in terms of fasting, average fasting insulin?
Yeah.
EAG. Oh, wait. I have to put it the other way.
Oh, here we go. Beg your pardon. It was 32, not 22. 32.
It was 32. And that was,
yeah.
32. Calculate. Oh, that's not right. It must be. Okay, here we go.
Sorry.
No, millimoles. Okay, good. I got it. It's in millimoles, right? That's how they test
it.
All right. Millimoles. That seems high to me. I mean, I'm looking at a chart that says in the millimoles, 13 is, and that can't be right, is equivalent to 32. 10 our numbers.
32, yeah.
32.
So they want it under 53 here.
Yeah, but they also don't have good ranges here either. So.
Oh, no, no, sure.
So it's probably a little on the high side. It's not like terribly high. I'll have to find a calculator for this. I'm going to write myself a note. Find US A1C converter. All right. We'll look at that. But it's definitely on the high side in their range, I would say. And we'll look at that. So your average might be high because it goes high and then low. Or it could be, if it's normal, it could be that it goes high and then low and it averages out. So I think getting the insulin tested, but I really just think you've got some information, you know what raises your sugar, and it seems to be any amount of fruit, and you're going to leave it out for a month.
Okay, but what about the fact that there was no fruit in that stir fry and a piece of salmon?
Carrots. Cooked starches. Carrots raised mine to 135, which is about where yours went.
What, even what was equivalent of about a quarter of a carrot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're sensitive to it.
But I noticed that I first noticed it when I started doing some spinach smoothies, literally with, I'd say, half a pear in it, and that was it, with the with water and a bit of almond milk. And I packed around my middle. Within 10 days, it was like, suddenly, where did my stomach come from? And it was absolutely solid. So I know I can't break it down. But as I say, unfortunately, the problem that I'm up against is because I'm so sensitive to everything, including the thiols, which is why I've introduced the molybdenum, that I feel my diet's very restricted anyway. I just want to get some different variety of foods back in.
Yeah, but at this point, what's the almond milk? Is it something you made or something that you purchased?
No, it's an unsweetened pre-made in a carton, yeah. Just because I, yeah.
So instead, if you're making a smoothie, you don't need to use milk, almond milk or coconut milk or anything. You just use that whole food. So you can actually throw it in there. I would leave out the pear, and I would just go in there and do the spinach with the almonds and water, or the spinach with some avocado and water, or whatever veggies you can do and vary it. But I would do it without fruit at all. Now, I've gotten to the point where I was able to eat, you know, big handfuls of blueberries and not raise my sugar, but as soon as I blended it into a smoothie, I raised my sugar. Because it's blended in, the sugar gets into you real quick. So you're just super sensitive right now. I'd be curious to see your genetics. You probably have a lot of genetics towards it. But it's, I would just say, cut those things out. They raise your sugar, cut them out. That's what we're here for, right? This testing phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems restrictive, but you want to get better.
Oh, absolutely. And I, as I said, it's, I think I've been aware of the fact that because I've been so tired for so long, I suddenly thought, well, maybe actually it's more to do with this than maybe being lacking in nutrients of, you know, because of the absorption, et cetera. But, and I'm sure it is because the brain fog is just ridiculous. And then come 2 hours, then it clears. So when I eat, I get brain fog. And then, say, about 2 hours later, it seems to lift. And it just goes around in this cycle. And then if I get, as I said, I know when my sugars are dipping because I get really, really shaky. And really, really kind of suddenly I'll sweat and I'll get really, you know, faint and whatever. So I know this is why I'm here, because I've got to reset something. But it's a case of I just thought, well, I'm lucky that I honestly thought my numbers were going to be much, much higher. But what concerned me was the jump, really, from, I say, 5.3 to 7.3.
I thought it was too big. Not coming into the cells and it's triggering some gluconeogenesis. Liver's releasing, raises it, and then drops it down. I think, you know, the best bet is to get your fasting insulin if you can get it, and or postprandial insulin.
Okay, I will. I'll get those.
You'll get there. You will get there. This gives you such information that you can tailor your diet based on it.
Yeah, and do you think then? I know it's sort of how long's a piece of string, but once we've, are we effectively, not retraining, but are we sort of resetting the receptor site in order that hopefully, I mean, I'm not, but if you said to me I can never eat fruit again, I'd be disappointed, but that's not a big deal for me, but I'm more concerned with being able to get the variety of vegetables back in again.
Yeah, and that's what I would say a lot of times. I can't guarantee it for you, but that's what happened for me. It happens to a lot of people. There's a lot of factors here that play in, Leah, you know, the emotional pieces, and that's why it's so important to do the heart math 5 times a day, not once a day. And it says, you said that you were B12 and folate deficient on the Genova test. Have you gotten any like B12 shots or topical application of those? There are some companies that do sell. I don't know what they sell in the UK and sublingual, but getting those numbers up is super important as well.
Yeah. I'm working with that with liquids. Sorry, that just reminded me. So I can walk steadily for, as I say, up to an hour, but if I try to do a HIIT burst, then I get very, very faint. So should I be trying to still do that or not?
So when you do the burst, you mean while you're walking or when you're at home and you just do some – person.
No, if I just try to do some bursting at home, if I try to run on the spot, for example, or whatever, or do some style jumps, or you know, whatever,
right? We have to read our bodies. Yeah, it's good for you. I mean, it's good for people in general, but it may not be good for you right now. You may have burned out adrenals.
Yeah.
Okay.
In which case, is this gonna help me on that side as well, or not really?
Well, it'll help a lot. And I mean, this helps indirectly. It helps the gut. It helps the adrenals. It helps the thyroid. But it's a matter of you may have to do some specific stuff. And I would say you got to get the blood sugar under control, or you never get your adrenals under control.
Yeah.
Or your gut. So they have to work in conjunction. Okay. Yeah, I know it's hard, you guys, when you test and you go, oh, my favorite fruit. Mango is my favorite food in the whole world. And when I tested mango and it shot my sugar up, I was so disappointed. But I've since been able to, I can eat a big salad with some mango, and I just alternate bites of the salad with bites of the mango, and it works really well.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. I'll get rid of the fruit and just see how that changes.
And the cooked carrots.
Smoothie.
You may be fine with raw carrots, but the cooked carrots may be a problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then. All right. Okay. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. So next up, I have still on my list, I have Kathleen, and there was somebody who said they were only on the chat, and let me see who that was. I think it was Rita. Was it Rita? Lynn, will you give me a list, put it in the Q&A or put it in my tumor chat of anybody that has whose name I call that says they're just on the chat, and I will answer their questions. And I have one more hand up, which is Las Vegas, so I'm still trying to get Las Vegas open. So I have Kathleen. I have Jeannie. I already did. Let me read Jeannie.
And Rita was the one that had mentioned it on the chat.
You heard that. All right. Let's see. All right. So we have Kathleen, and we have, I'm trying to find Rita. Rita, there's Rita. Yeah. And then I have Tina and Christine. So I have Kathleen, Rita, Tina, and Christine. So let me see who's, if that person that's on the phone, I've been trying to get them open, but it hasn't worked. I think it was Las Vegas is open. So, and Michigan, Adrian, Michigan, 517.
That's me.
Who's that?
That's me, Kathleen.
Oh, that's Kathleen. Okay, so Kathleen, let's see who came in first. Kathleen, and Rita. So Rita came in first, so I'm going to do Rita and then I'll do you, okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Great. And Las Vegas is still open. All right, so Rita, I'm just going to go through and see what your question is, and then we'll go through your numbers. Good morning, Kathleen.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Who's that?
So this is Barbara.
Oh, hi, Barbara. You're Las Vegas?
Hello, doctor. Yes.
Good.
Yes, I, do you want to take that other call first, and then I'll wait?
Yeah, let me take them first, and then we'll come back. How's that?
Okay.
Perfect. Keep your hand up. All right. So, Barbara, let's see. My morning fasting glucose is often higher than bedtime. It's from past trauma. How would I take care of that? If not, what else might it be, and how would I address it? Okay, great. Let me go just see what you're doing. 5'6", 128, you have about 4 pounds you want to lose, so not much. Better sleep and lower fasting glucose. 5'4" hemoglobin A1C, so a little high. Fasting insulin is on the low side. It's 1.8, so it could be good, but it might, you know, I'd want to do C-peptide, and I want to do postprandial if you can, which means you go to the lab after eating and seeing what that is, what your fasting insulin is, your insulin, not your fasting. Highest fasting you're seeing is 116, lowest is 90, the average is at 103. So you're still a little high, definitely in the insulin resistance range. Bedtime highest is 105, lowest is 79, so you're going down at the end of the day. I agree that there could be some things that are traumatizing you overnight that are raising your glucose, but you also have your highest after meal is 183. So what I would do, you said you're still trying to figure it out. So what I would look at is what were those foods in the meal that you had right before the 183? And it looks like your average post-meal glucose is 130. So what you want to do is look at what meals created that high level of glucose. And then you write those foods down, and then you start to stay away from those foods. You definitely stay away from those foods, and we're creating a metabolic reset diet. You can take those foods and find them on the chart, the metabolic reset chart, which has a column, two columns for three columns, actually for green, and then a set of columns for yellow, and then a set of columns for red. pretty much all of you should be phasing out the red stuff, because nobody gets to do that during the metabolic reset. The matter is your sugar doesn't go up when you eat foods that are, you know, just processed and bad for you. We're trying to not just manage glucose, but in managing glucose, we're trying to get your health underway. So I would do that. I would look to see what those are. And any of the meals that cause your sugar to go above 110, look and see. Well, it looks like you've had as low as 78 after meal. So I would say anything that raised it above 110, exit off on that metabolic reset chart. And this goes for everybody. If you've got meals that raise your sugar, you take that chart, you print it out, and then you just X off the foods that are causing your sugar to go up. If you're suspicious and it's only borderline going up, like 115, 120, test it again. Test it with more veggies. Let me see. 7.5 hours of sleep, going to sleep at 9:30, getting up at 6, but waking up 5 to 6 hours. It's interrupted. Have to be in bed about 9 hours to get 7 or 8 hours of sleep. So I would recommend that you do get in there and make sure that you're in bed for 9 hours. But if you haven't already looked at the sleep module has a lot of good advice for trying to help you. You've got to stop eating 3 hours before bedtime. It looks like your last food is at 6, so you're doing that 3.5 hours. You're spacing your meals 4 hours apart, which is good. You're doing 2 to 6 bursts a day. You're doing walking and hiking and weights, so your exercise is awesome. You're doing meditation twice a day, mini vacations twice a day. So you're taking care of the stress piece, you're taking care of the exercise piece, you're taking care of the timing piece. The sleep is a big issue, and of course, figuring out those foods. So what I would recommend is get into the sleep module. So if you haven't finished the others, skip them. Just go to the checklist that's on the page for each of those modules. So module 1 and 2, I think sleep is module 1, 2, and 3, and sleep, skip to the sleep. You can always go back to the others, but that's a cheater's way to open up a module. I really think that you need to get into the sleep. There may be some herbs. I don't know what you've tried to get yourself to sleep. Trauma can be a big one. Sleeping, when you fall asleep, okay, but then you wake in the middle of the night, it's often because of your nervous system is wired that you don't feel safe, that maybe there was some abuse in your household that happened in the middle of the night, a break-in that, you know, you were robbed or molested in the middle of the night. And those kind of things, they just imprint in your nervous system. So it's finding out why and then addressing it. Now, there are some herbs that we talk about in there. There's one called magnolia. If indeed it's because your cortisol is going up, then get a magnolia flower tincture, and then just try it. Take it at bedtime. Take it every time you wake up. Do it for a week or two. If you don't see any difference, it may not be a problem with cortisol, which is what really the magnolia addresses. There are other herbs listed in there. There's chamomile. There's passion flower. And sometimes it's a trial and error, and then finding the right formulation that calms your nervous system down. Make sure that you're doing meditation at bedtime, not just throughout the day, but make sure you're actually doing it, either meditation or the mini vacations at bedtime. And then when you wake up, do it again. Okay? So I'm looking, Lynn, if there's any things that she's written in. It's hard having a one-way conversation. Yeah, this call is actually scheduled for 2 hours. So that's what we typically do for the sweet spot.
She hasn't written anything in.
She hasn't. Okay. So thank you. And those are good questions. And if you have more questions, just, come on. Actually, the best thing to do is to come on live so I can ask the questions and we can go back and forth. Okay. So we have Kathleen who's on the call, and Kathleen, Tina, and Christine are two of them. Yours are from last time, Christina and Kathleen, so I don't know what happened there. You might not be on this call. All right, so, and then we have two more hands that went up, one more hand, sorry. So Michigan is Kathleen, right?
Yes.
All right. Yay, I can hear you, even though my screen says it. So let me scan that through. You've got, you know, about 70 pounds you want to lose, and your fasting glucose goes from 81 to 101. Average is about 91, so a little on the high side. And doing the glucose tolerance at home, you got up to 142, which is too high. You've seen it as low as 76 after meals. And foods that you identified are bread, juice, flour, ice cream, potatoes, honey, and maple syrup. So what are you going to do about those foods, Kathleen?
Oh, they're gone. They're history.
Yay. Okay. Now, notice that every single one of those is in the red column on our chart. So not
right.
But you had to test it. We're in the test phase right now. You're doing ketone testing, and it's usually about 0.3, so you're not getting into ketosis at all. Getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep, which is awesome, going to bed 8 to 9. The last meal is around 5:30. Last diet fueling. What does that mean?
The fuelings are shakes and the Optavia shakes and the bars. Because I'm supposed to have 5 of those every 2.5 hours. Every 2.5 hours I have one. I start at 7:30 in the morning and at 8 o'clock at night. And then at 5:30 I have a lean and green meal.
Okay. So I'm just going to give you my opinion and you can do what you want to do.
Eating that's exactly what I'm asking.
Okay, good. Eating 5 times a day is the worst thing for weight loss. The worst. Because it's keeping your insulin levels up all day long. Now, I don't know what are in their bars and shakes, right? So oftentimes those bars and shakes are too high in glucose. They have a lot of artificial stuff. They often have dairy and whey protein, and I don't know what's in these particular ones. A lot of soy. Not a really good idea. So when did you start this off?
In January, January 1st.
Have you seen some good results with it so far?
I've lost 32 pounds.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. So there's probably something in there that are keeping you full and you're disciplined. But that's just my opinion. I think eating frequently like that is not a good idea for solving your blood sugar problem.
Okay. Well, that's why I came into your program, because I was feeling that maybe that was the case.
Yeah. So you can put it on hold, try this for a couple months, and then if you're really feeling like that was working better, you can go back to it. But I have a feeling you're going to see some better results here.
Okay.
Did you test how these shakes and the bars are doing for you?
Yeah. I did one of the biscuits and one of the shakes, and they you can see it on my chart there. I tested a biscuit on 5:11, and I tested a shake on 5:12.
Oh, good. You have a form. Okay. I don't see it. I don't see a chart. That was just your email. I don't see a chart, but.
I have the glucose tracking chart. I sent it in.
Yeah, it didn't come across. Darn. Did you do it with the form? Oh, no, wait. I have to look in the place. Okay, let me go back there. Okay. Think. Where am I going to find that? Lynn, I think this went to another form. Darn. I thought it was going to have a link right here in the email, but it doesn't. So let me see. Let me go back. I'll find it. I just have to find that form. Google Forms. Okay, give me a second. Google Forms. That was a Sweet Spot Uploader.
Yep, that's what I used.
Okay, Sweet Spot Results. Why am I not seeing it? Showing up. Let me type. Give me a second. Health. 4 hours. And thank you for submitting it.
Oh, no problem. Because I did a glucose tolerance test this morning.
At the doctor at home.
At home.
Okay.
I took the absolute worst meal I could possibly eat and did it. And that's where I got that 142, which I've never come anywhere close to that before.
Yeah. My numbers aren't terrible, you know, but let me look at your responses. Let's see. This goes down here, and then I look at, sorry, I need to find this. Finding it. I'm just trying to find what the name of the form is. And it's not really readily apparent.
It says, I think the one that I sent you is called K. Donahue Glucose Tracking.
Right. And you submitted it through the form that was at the end. Like when you filled
yes.
it out, it came back and said, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. All right, I'll get there. I will get there. It's just not named, obviously. So, and Lynn, if you know anywhere, no, it would be under here. And it would say response receipts if respondent requested. Presentation. Oh, here we go. Sweet spot solution. I'll find it. So if I just put this form in and then I hit edit, it'll show me the responses. All right, responses. There's just one, so it's easy. It's you. Kathy.
Yay.
Gotcha. Oh, it's handwritten.
I just started tracking on 5/11, so I'm like really new to this. So.
Really new to it. Okay. So let me make this bigger. Let me see how I do that. There should be a place where, here's the magnifying glass. There we go. So you started on 5/11.
That's correct.
Okay, 5 p.m., energy was 8, prior, glucose prior. You had your biscuit with the maple syrup and all that with a chicken salad and a hot dog.
No, that was another meal. That was another meal at 9.
Oh, that was another meal at 9. Okay.
Yeah, I see that the times changed there.
Yeah, your glucose didn't go up
and then
there. Okay, yeah, 9 p.m. I see it. Chicken salad, hot dog. Okay, so hot dogs are probably not your best meal in terms of health.
Right.
Chicken salad, depending on how you did it, if there's mayonnaise in it, which most chicken salads do have.
No, mine don't have mayonnaise.
Okay, what do you use in there? What do you make it with?
It's just chicken, with, a bunch of greens in it. And, that's basically it. It has tomatoes and, I use tomatoes and, I may use a tiny bit of cheese, but I don't use much cheese at all.
Okay.
And that's basically it. I have a low fat salad dressing that I just kind of dribble on, so it gives it some kind of
so commercial,
you know,
dressing.
It is a commercial dressing, yes.
Okay. So,
but there isn't any like artificial stuff in it. It's one of these organic things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not just
yeah. So I'm looking at this, and I think that your diet could use some improvement in order to lose weight. The foods that you're eating are not so, like hot dogs. Is it organic chicken?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. And then the hot dogs, is it, you know, a nitrate?
The hot dogs, I never eat hot dogs. It's just that it was there in the refrigerator and I grabbed it.
Okay. And then why are you eating at 9 p.m.? You go to bed.
Where's? Oh, yeah, it was just a hell of a day. It's one of those days where I wasn't here all the time.
Okay. And it looks like
that. I never do that. I always eat right between 5 and 6.
Okay. And then you wake up at 8. The next morning you woke up and you, at 8 o'clock, your blood sugar was 101. So I'm not surprised. It didn't go up right after you ate. You did it at 30 minutes. You did it at an hour. You did it at 2 hours. It looked like it was coming down. So what I would suggest for you in getting better numbers, do more like you did at the 6:30 p.m. where you tested it. It was really clear when you peaked. Actually, no, it wasn't because you didn't keep going till it came down.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to see that the numbers are rising. They come to a high point and then they come down. And that way we know what our peak was. You may have a late peak, although it looks that way in like the biscuit got you up to 105 within 30 minutes. And then mm-hmm. it came down to 102 and then it came down to 91.99. So, well, then it started mm-hmm. going up again. So the reason we ask you to do it like every 15 minutes is just at the beginning to really get a sense of your pattern. Oh, yeah, like this one, 5:13. That was today.
Right. That's the one where I had a couple of peaks actually in there.
Yeah.
That's right. I finally got the hang of how to do the every 15 minutes.
Yeah, you did
thing.
It great. Yeah, you did that great. And you went up to 141 and then came back down.
And then I went down to 111 twice because you didn't have a column in there for that, so I put it underneath
okay.
the 141.
Yeah, so it's
and then it goes to 117 from there.
And you felt lightheaded, your stomach hurt, et cetera.
Yeah, but I expected that because it was a glucose tolerance test. And
yeah.
The direction said to make the worst meal I could. And, boy, I did.
Yeah, you
I
did.
I mean, I never eat donuts. I don't eat orange juice. I don't eat biscuits.
Okay. So given this, you know, that says that those foods aren't not doing well. You don't have terrible, like you're not diabetic, okay?
That's good, okay.
If you're diabetic, we'd see those numbers go much higher. But 140 is a high number to get, okay? Not
right.
surprised. You had a donut and orange juice, right? It could have gone over 200.
Right, exactly.
Right? So,
right.
Yeah, so what you want to do is really follow the chart. Just start getting out everything that's in the chart, you know, the red part of the chart. You
right.
can test the stuff in the middle, but my guess is to get the weight off, you're probably going to need to do mostly the green and then whatever, you know, fruits or whatever
okay.
go okay with you. Okay?
Okay. And go like three meals a day and just leave it at that.
I would stick to three meals a day. I wouldn't eat in between.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, wouldn't eat in between. Okay. Yeah, it's
okay,
not
so
terrible,
I'll
doing, but I, you know, I don't know much about you other than that and whether you have some, you know, negative lab results or cholesterol issues or anything else.
Yeah, well, the lab results I haven't done yet, but I have never had cholesterol issues or anything like that.
Yeah, my guess is that you probably don't have some bad genetics related to glucose intolerance. So you just need to clean up your diet because if you did, your numbers would have gone through the roof with this diet. Okay. So
okay.
the things that I see here that are problematic, hash, is it hash browns? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it was, well, it was, a beef hash.
Okay.
They had a little bit of potatoes in it and then little pieces of beef.
Yeah.
That was actually my Mother's Day brunch
that
I went out with my family.
The eggs,
yep.
the sausage, bacons, all that kind of stuff contains.
Yeah, that was stuff I don't usually eat, but
you don't
it was for
eat.
Mother's Day brunch.
All right, so make your meals big salads, lots of veggies, and then small amount of like an organically raised meat or chicken or whatever you want to do or fish, and then you know whole food plant based fats, and I would stay away from oils.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I rarely use oils at all. So.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. I have one more line open, and then Lynn, if there's any questions that have been coming in that I need to address, make sure that they're in the Q&A, and I'll go back there. Some of the questions might have been already answered just based on helping other people. And you're welcome to open your line and just ask me the questions because that is easier.
Sure. And I have been putting him in the Q&A.
Okay, good. Let's see. So I'm back to the screen. Let me see. The fourth line open. So let me. Las Vegas hasn't answered, so.
No, well, Las Vegas was Barbara, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Las Vegas was Barbara. That's right. I'm going to go back to Barbara, and then I'm going to go back to Brooklyn.
But you had talked, you had answered Rita's question before, right?
And yeah, I just spent like 10 minutes answering Rita's question.
Yes, I know. And then just a little bit ago, she said thank you, and she thinks her cortisol is high in the mornings.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably high throughout the night. It's probably going up throughout the night. It might be normal at bedtime, but it's probably going up throughout the night and then high in the morning. That's a very good assumption. A Dutch test might be a good thing to do. You could do the Dutch adrenal only, or you can do the Dutch full panel, but a Dutch test could be a good thing to do to determine that. Barbara.
Oh, hi, doctor.
Hi. Congratulations on your results. I'm very excited for you.
Well, I'm really excited. I am, you know, amazed that what I've done that for your help and instruction has brought these kind of results. The day that I got the 97, I did a 2-mile power walk with 4 bursts. And so that brought, I haven't had that quite that low since. I've had 101, 109, 111, but I'm still disturbed at how much it spikes after I've eaten. And I realize, I guess just listening to the other calls, I'm just going to have to cut. I was putting a tiny bit of sprouted quinoa. I started out with a big, huge pile of spring greens and spinach, and then I add avocado and a lot and lots of veggies and my fermented slaw that I made that Sean helped me make, but then I had a mixture of rice cauliflower with broccoli and mushrooms. But I had cut up a small sweet potato in little tiny pieces to put out throughout, and I put like a fourth of a cup or maybe a third of quinoa over it. And, I'm amazed at how it spiked so much with that. So I guess I just have to cut those out.
For now.
Additions.
I agree with you for now. I mean, you're diabetic, right? You are not, you're not showing in the diabetic range now. So you're going to be much more sensitive than somebody who's in an earlier stage of glucose dysregulation. So I think that, especially for the metabolic reset, that you follow the guidelines, you go off of the gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts, you go off of all the, processed, but I would also get rid of the yellow column. And then just stick with that for a month, like meals that are mostly vegetables. And it sounds like you already know what to do with that, with your fermented, with your avocado. But leave off the starches and just test those meals.
Okay.
Just a few meals like that, and you might see a huge difference. Cooked carrots.
Right, and I make my own kefir and almond milk, and I probably shouldn't need to leave those off during the 30 days too.
Test them, kefir and almond milk. It depends on the almond milk. I think the kefir, if it's coconut kefir, is it dairy kefir?
No, it's actually dairy.
I would cut it out.
I didn't know about coconut kefir. I'm that was new to me when I saw that on your site.
Yeah, look into doing that. Dairy. And just do that the 7-6 foods, I guess I have there, plus sugars that you eliminate. And that's going to make a huge, huge, huge difference. And, as you go back, you'll start to get stabilized. Mm-hmm. You won't see those spikes. And then what you're going to do is you're going to start to test things. Okay. And we have a whole process.
Okay.
To test things again. But I think giving your body a break, how long has it been since you were diagnosed with diabetes?
Oh, it's probably been, it was when my husband was ill. He died 2.5 years ago, and it was when he started getting really sick and going downhill probably probably a year and a half or 2 years before that. So I just was determined not to take their medication. So I just been trying to do, you know, with diet and exercise, and haven't been real successful. But the doctor had told me, well, if you keep your, blood sugar in the morning no higher than 160, you'll be okay. And so I didn't like the brain fog that would come and go, and I really, even though I'm not perfect eater, but I've been really clean compared to most. I don't do the typical American diet, and and I am 78, so when I do I usually do a minimum of a mile power walk every day, but now I've added the burst.
Good.
And that's why I think that, plus just fine tuning the diet here and there, and not picking up a healthy snack in between, just doing the intermittent fasting and stretching out the meals, further has been really helpful. And I was amazed when I got in the 120s, the clarity and the energy that I had, because didn't know I would ever have again. But I'm leaving Thursday morning to go to my 60th class reunion back in the Midwest.
Good for
and,
you.
So I'm going to do that. So I'm not going to start the, the real reset with all just greens and stuff until I get back, because, traveling for 4 days, it's a little difficult. And but I wanted to thank you, and also to ask you, now I have a family member that's getting great success with having a tablespoon of the pure apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, and 8 ounces of water a few minutes before eating.
Awesome.
And it's brought his spike number way down. And so what is your opinion of that?
I think it's awesome. I also think there's other stuff. Are you doing the chromium and magnesium yet?
You know, I haven't picked those up yet, because you indicated that those were just for the cravings. And,
Not for the cravings. Sorry if I gave you that impression. We call them that because people get rid of their cravings. But, no, it's for actually helping to open up the insulin receptors. Insulin. So I would get those. I would also look at some other things. The apple cider vinegar is great. There's a lot of things, and we talk about it in Module 2. Maitake mushrooms. You can get maitake mushrooms. And there's a whole list on the food resources page that has foods that can actually help restore sensitivity. So avocado, you mentioned, that's one. But if you start to play with that, become creative about how you use those foods. And then there's berberine, which it can be really helpful as well.
Okay, I will pick those up. So I need to pick up the berberine along with the chromium and the DHA and the potassium. I mean, not the potassium, the...
And potassium, thank you for saying potassium, because if you start to find that your legs are cramping as you remove some of the higher glycemic foods, like potatoes and bananas are a good source of potassium, you may need some extra potassium as a supplement.
Okay, so I shouldn't do a piece of a banana with nut butter on it or something before?
No,
potassium supplement and not do banana?
I would not do banana. Too high in sugar.
Okay.
You can test it after the reset, but not now.
Okay. Banana after reset, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will do that, but the apple cider vinegar before eating, and he does it just like 5 minutes before he eats. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Totally fine. You could also do it first thing in the morning if you wanted to, or last thing at night. I mean, as long as you tolerate it. Some people have a little bit of gastritis, and it's hard on their stomachs, but I think it's an awesome thing to do.
Okay, because I had another healthcare professional years ago that said that it was too acidic and not to do it. But this is a time where I want to, you know, follow what you think and trying to have success with this program. And so, and did you say maitake or shiitake mushrooms?
Maitake, M-A-I-T-A-K-E.
Okay, maitake, okay.
Either they get fresh, like shiitakes you can get at most stores fresh, not the maitake. There's certain times a year. I don't know what the deal is. We only get them fresh here occasionally. But Mountain Rose Herbs usually has them dry, and if they don't, you can look them up online and look for them.
Okay. Okay. All right. And so you had told me when I talked to you the other day that, you know, when I was telling you that how high that I was spiking, but within 2 hours I was back, way back down. I would come down sometimes 100 points, or that it was a good sign that my body that was bringing it down that well. It's just that it shouldn't go that high to begin with. I know, but it is good that my body's bringing it down that quickly.
It is
quickly,
good
right?
That your body's bringing it down, but also here's what I want to do, because we're all so hard on ourselves. I want you to sit and breathe and congratulate yourself on the major progress you've made, and we're only in the first 2 weeks that we haven't even done the reset yet. I mean, to go from in the 160s to 180s to low 100s and even below 100, you're doing great. And so I just want to honor you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, Sean, my daughter Shandi's been doing that and helping me, and by hearing it from you, and I tend to be hard on myself, and I have to realize, Barbara, you're 78, you're, you know, going on 79, and you know, what you're doing and doing the, you know, I've been physically active for many years and been able to add the burst and stuff, and there's some people that look at me and think that I'm some kind of freak of nature, that I'm able to move like I do, and I don't have, you know, I don't have pain, and so I'm very grateful, and I do need to take a step back and just relax and be grateful for this, the progress I'm making, and I'm just very excited and very grateful, Dr. Rita Marie. I really appreciate you.
Welcome, and I'm you are doing the work, so keep on doing it, fine tune it. We'll get you to fine tune it. You do the reset. And this diabetes thing is going to be a thing of the past.
Oh, I'm so excited to think. That is my goal, and I really will do anything. I need to get on and I guess I need to go to the, tracking my glucose. I hate being on the computer.
Track it on paper. Just print them out, print the forms out. Like you just saw, who was it, Kathleen that I just looked at? Kathleen had written it in and she uploaded it. It was printed out. It was handwritten.
And so then I send, you know, but I can do it handwritten. But you want a copy though, right?
Yeah. So then do you have a phone? Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah. I can take a picture of it and send it to you?
Yeah, you take a picture and then you send it. And if you log into the site on the extras tab, it's, I think it's the first one, first tab, first section. And you can just send it that way, or you can just email it to us.
Okay.
We'll get it.
Okay. And just as far as, you know, we were talking about the lab stuff, now, I want to wait to go and do more lab work when I have, hopefully got, you know, have huge success. And, but I think I have a doctor, she's a female that I can ask to do I need to do the peptides and the CRP.
If you go to runmylabs.com. Everybody can do that. Go to runmylabs.com. Right at the top of the page, it says Sweet Spot Bundle. And he has listed the tests. If you are going to go to your doctor, you just take those tests and say, can you do these tests for me? In your case,
runmylabs.com.
Runmylabs.com. And if, in your case, because you have a you've been diagnosed with diabetes already. They should not give you a hard time about running those tests.
Oh, I'm sure they won't. I'm sure it and my lab work is, you know, free, basically, nearly free. And so,
well, you got to be careful. Like Dr. Allen said, you check to make sure that Medicare will cover it if you're on Medicare. If you have a supplemental program, just check that they're going to cover it, because if they don't, what they'll bill you if they don't is way higher than what the price is on the website. Okay,
okay.
So
I will check that.
I don't want you to get end up with a $100 bill when you can pay.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you, and I will keep working.
Well, congratulations, and you're not giving yourself as much credit as all of us are, like, in awe. Like, look what she's done in just 2 weeks.
Well, it thrilled me to hear you say that about Sean messaging you, and yes, and that you are impressed with what I've done. I do need to step back and relax and be grateful and kind of applaud that what's happened so far, and be patient.
And be patient. And here's what I believe. I believe that if we acknowledge our own positive steps and we sit in appreciation for it, we're going to get more of that to appreciate.
Yes, yes. Embrace my success and express gratitude and just expect more. Just think,
expect,
you know,
more.
And I found out that the 2 mile power walk plus all those bursts was a little bit aggressive. I was a little sore and kind of, I think I need to do a compromise in there. But you know, when you get excited, it just you just sometimes
your glucose. So here's what you can do. If you, first of all, if you come back from a run, this is for anybody, you exercise, you come back sore, get yourself into a hot Epsom salts bath. The magnesium in there will help relax the muscles. Drink a lot of fluid before you replenish your fluid.
Yes, I'm good about the water, and so I will do that. I will have to do that, and do that.
One more thing for that.
Soaking.
Turmeric and ginger, yummy spices. You can add them to your kraut. You can add them. You can make a tea out of them, and they will help you with the inflammation that's associated.
Actually, I do have in my kraut, in my slaw I made, I put both turmeric and ginger because Shandi was here teaching me how to do it, and the recipe she followed had both of those in it.
Beautiful.
And so
you got it.
And I probably should maybe do some ginger tea or that might be helpful too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm keeping you over time.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for talking to me. Bye bye, doctor.
Bye. All right. Brooklyn. Who's in Brooklyn? It doesn't have a name. It just says Brooklyn.
Me.
Who's you?
Me, Michelle. And I'm not in Brooklyn. I'm in Queens. It always comes up that way.
Okay.
I'm the one in Forest Hills. I'm doing this program for the second time.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Welcome
this
back.
Time, I really, really want to, I really want to succeed. I guess I didn't try hard enough last time going through the steps.
And you know, here's the thing about that, right? It's hard. Listen, there's a lot of shifts in the diet, and sometimes people make partial shifts and they need to come back and do it again and get the support to keep going. So don't be hard on yourself for not, you know, following up and maybe not doing everything you could. So how can I help you today?
Okay, I have a few questions, several questions. About 6 months ago, I did, at the behest of my nutritionist, I did the saliva test, you know, from ZRT Labs, and confirmed that, yes, my cortisol was going up at night.
Okay.
So the wired and tired. So that I already have documented. I also have now found out that I do have sleep apnea. And when I was doing Viome and I had the app, I was showing that I was, like, only getting 4 hours. And that's I don't even know if that's deep sleep. So the sleep is really bad. It's really not what it should be. So now I finally got the CPAP, and I'm not able to get used to it. And now this whole past week, I've had to kick it to the curb because I can't seem to fall asleep with the CPAP. And so I get the tiredness just builds up more every night until, like, I finally crash on the weekends. So I'm not getting any rest. And then I'm all over the map. And then I need the coffee. And then I want sugars, and my moods are all over the place. So I'm trying to figure out how I can break the cycle and get the sleep piece. So that's my first question.
Okay, so, you know, sleep apnea is complicated, right? And because a lot of people can't tolerate the CPAP, yet you're waking up because you're gasping for air throughout the night. So I would say you want to talk to whoever gave you the CPAP and really work on getting it fitted. Really work on, like, being – they do have some sleep studies where you can go into the office and, you know, you're there overnight and they're adjusting it. And I know somebody who did that and finally got it. And she ended up not needing it anymore after a couple of years.
Well, I just get, like, claustrophobic. I can't really fall asleep with the mask on. That's what it is. I never really – you know, maybe an hour at most. So I kicked it to the curb because I was so tired. But I know that I have to do it. I'm going to have to pay for this machine because I was too tired. I couldn't just go another night. So now the past few nights I've been just trying to get to sleep.
Okay.
So
and what did you have it like before? Were you sleeping? How many hours straight could you sleep?
Well, when I crash, when I have low energy, I can sleep all weekend and still be tired, and I can't get up in the morning. I'm running out, and I'm starting to buy unhealthy things for lunch again, which I had pretty much was doing better. But now I'm on the coffee, and I'm going back to bad habits, and I don't want to do that. I really want to do this program the right way, but I need my best.
Doctor that did your adrenal test, did they come up with, she or he, whatever, come up with a protocol, program for you to follow, herbs, nutrition, food, et cetera?
Yeah, they did. I don't remember if I had the brain fog to follow through. Yeah.
All right.
So
you have to address the problem. The test really gives you some good results, but if you don't address it, what good is doing the test, you know?
Right. Yeah, he did give me a supplement. So
and
I guess I'll have to
supplement,
try that.
Though. It's food. It's activities. It's timing. We have a whole program on adrenals, which we gave you guys a – most of you got access to a book. I'm going to go check to see if it was delivered yet. It was supposed to have been bonus adrenal. So it's a eating for adrenal health. Jumpstart your adrenals. It was an ebook and with recipes and, you know, elixirs and things like that. Because we have some really cool elixir recipes that can help with the coffee craving. So you can use off of the coffee and get energy that's natural energy because it's from food and supplements and herbs and things like that that actually raise your energy up the right way.
I've watched your videos on the elixirs, and I was advised not to do like the medicinal mushrooms because I have the Hashimoto's, so that it would be, you know, that might stimulate them more.
Well,
so that mushrooms
not
are really good for people.
That's not my understanding. So you'll have to take the advice of your doctor if that was done by a doctor, but if it's something you read on the internet somewhere, that's not been my experience.
I guess I'll have to muscle test it. Okay.
Muscle
and
test
then,
is a great way to do it.
It is or it is not?
It is, yeah. If you're not sure about a supplement, if you know how to do muscle testing, you just ask your body.
Right, I'll have him do that.
And the elixirs
are
not just medicinal mushrooms. We do have a mushroom-free elixir. We have them with ashwagandha, and ashwagandha is one of the best herbs for your adrenals, I mean your thyroid and your adrenals as well.
Right. And then last summer, I did the Viome study with the blood sugar, and they gave me the continuous glucose meter, and it was a high-carb program that they prescribed certain meals, and then I could eat whatever I wanted. And I didn't do badly on the blood sugar. I can probably maybe be able to find it and upload it. But I didn't do badly, but yet on the Ultra Mini, you know, I get the high results. So I don't know which ones are the right ones. I mean, I do my A1C has been 5.7, like, for as long as I can remember.
Hi. Well, it means that the high ones are the right ones.
The high ones are the right. So much for the long-term meter. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
and then
you know, the meters work. It just depends on what how they were interpreting it. So there's the meter and what it says. Mm-hmm. And some people will say, oh, yeah, your blood sugar is like 120. It's fine. But it's not. Right? And your A1C is telling because it's over time. I would get your insulin too.
Okay. And the last one was just a technical question that you were talking to the last person. If I take a picture of my forms, what email address do I send it to, and how often should we upload the forms?
I want you to not send it to email. I just told her that if she can't figure it out, because she said she's not techie, but we have a form. If you go on the site and you click on extras, you fill out that form, and then at the end it'll ask you to click a button, and then you can go ahead and upload them. The answer, how often, you can upload them as often as you want, and, you know, whatever, we'll look at it on a thing. But you have to fill out the form, because the form gives me some specific information that helps me hone in. When somebody just uploads something and I have to ask lots of questions and the form isn't filled out thoroughly, then there's a lot of open questions and open loops. But if you fill out the form and you upload it at the end, it'll say, do you want to upload a file? You click it, and then you do.
All right. I'll probably need some tech help doing that. So, because if my forms are on paper and I'm doing them by hand and not on the computer.
You take a picture of it, and the uploader will say, you take a picture, you put them on your computer, and then when you get that form, you say upload. You click the button that says upload, and it'll say, where is it? You find the file on your computer, and you give it that file name, and it automatically sends it to me.
Can you do this on the phone? Well, not really.
I don't know. I've never tried it on the phone. You might be able to.
Right.
Then what you do is you take the picture and you just send it to yourself. If you hit the little button with the up arrow.
Right. You send it to yourself, right? And then?
Send it to yourself an email, and then you save it to your computer, and then you hit the upload.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's pretty easy. Okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Lynn, it's getting to the end. I want to expedite this. Can you please just pick any questions that are still outstanding? If you've answered them in the chat, I don't need to answer them. And let's see where we go. Looks like Ree just opened her. Ree, that's what my kids, my brothers and sisters called me when I was a kid. Ree. Hi, Ree.
Hello, doctor. This is Ree. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I just want to say hello to you, and you know, I'm still slow in the process. You know, still going through foundation modules, so I haven't done much. I just want to let you know that, you know, I have Hashimoto, and my biggest problem is losing weight. So that is what I'm working on. So hopefully, you know, by end of this program, you know, I'm able to lose some weight.
Great.
That is, yeah.
Follow what we tell you, and when we get to the metabolic reset, if you're not finished your testing, you just follow everything in the green unless it's tested badly. So that's what we'll recommend that as we get closer. And we're going to go through it together. You have daily emails to guide you. We have plenty of calls, and we'll help you get through it.
Okay. One quick question I follow Indian diet. Do you have any specific recipe for Indian recipe that is low in carb and all that?
Have you looked at the recipe guide that we gave you?
Not in depth detail, no.
Okay, well, look in there because there's several curries in there.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And all you have to do is just do vegetables. You know, your spices are so amazing. I eat Indian food all the time that we make, and we just use a lot of vegetables, and you use the spices and coconut milk and things like that, and it's amazing.
Okay.
And
so, everything is cooked, so it's hard for me to follow raw food diet. And also we use always a little bit of oil in everything, right? So
okay, yeah, you do, and you don't have to. But If you're trying to follow a raw food diet, I've made plenty of, I was just telling you cook because most people eat cook, but I do 99% of my food is raw. So, and I eat lots of that stuff. And so one of my favorite ways, this is an easy way, it's kind of cheating, but you put your vegetables in a pot and you, once they're cooked, well, you're not cooking. So you basically put them in the blender and you can make a blended sauce for it. You can use, it's just really, I don't know if there's a book out there on specifically Indian food, but I do it all the time. Instead of rice, you do cauliflower rice. And
yeah, that's just what I was going to say. I do a lot of the cauliflower rice. And then I cook that up and then put the sauce on, and then I'll add in my vegetables.
Same sauce, you do it raw, so you don't have to
cook. I thought she said she did not want to.
It's hard to follow. Yeah, raw food. So because I'm so used to with cooked food, you know. So
okay, you want to do cooked? Yeah. So like I said, you basically put there's plenty of recipes in the recipe guide, and you basically make the cauliflower rice. You cook it. You make an Indian flavored sauce, and you put it on top. And lots of veggies.
Okay.
Well, I've seen it because all of it's mostly vegetables, and you just leave out the rice and do cauliflower rice instead.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I thought you said you do want to do raw. Okay.
I thought I must because, you know, I'm partially non-vegetarian. Yeah. Some days I do eat non-vegetarian food, but the thing is, still, I'm not able to lose weight, even though I eat, you know, pretty much 60% of the time veggie food, you know. So I thought maybe there is something missing in my diet that I need to go through the next level of raw food, you know.
Eat salads with your curries and with all your Indian dishes. I have a great recipe guides for Indian food, and I just leave out the rice. And I've done them all as well, because in the summertime I don't like to eat cooked food because it's too hot. And I eat a lot of curries and stuff, and we just make these really nice sauces. My husband always says the spices taste better when you cook them, but you don't have to cook them in oil. I know you usually do that, but you don't have to. If you're trying to lose weight, I would avoid it, and just water stir fry. If you go to YouTube and you type in water stir fry, there's some really great instructions step by step on how to do that. Like, you get the pan nice and hot, you put some water in, then you add your garlic, and it's really easy to do.
Oh, okay, sure. I will check it out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so Lynn, are there any other questions that I haven't made? Because a lot of them got covered.
A lot, much of it did. There, Susanna had a question, and there were some similar to this, and you touched on it a little bit, but I suspect that it wasn't enough. So basically, you know, she's eating the allowed foods, everything looks good until the 2-hour mark, at which time she has a 10 to 20 point spike, even if she ate nothing but greens and lemon juice. And then after she spikes, the blood sugar goes down really slowly. She's not back to her baseline until about 5 or 6 hours after she ate. And she's not snacking. She only drinks water.
I'm going to say I want to see you do an insulin test, an insulin fasting, and an insulin postprandial. I want to see what's happening. I have a feeling you may not even be making enough insulin if that's happening. So it may not be high insulin. How high is it going?
Yeah, she had to leave.
Okay.
So, and since she's in ERC, you can.
Yeah, I can address that. I'm going to have a conversation with her on the next call. We already discussed that today. Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
There's some people here who have specific numbers.
Okay, so if they're on, are they on the Q&A? Because I can.
Well, she was originally, but she had to leave.
No. Okay.
And I remember she asked specifically about.
Let's get the Q&A then. If it's actual numbers, it's too hard to do verbally. Vanessa asked about a Dutch test. I told you to do that. We'll do that on a body balance call.
Yep.
Linda Lou. Linda Lou, as far as test, intermittent fasting, just test it and see. I think it can be great for some people and not for others. When it spikes at 3 hours, again, there's just regulation. I can't always say exactly what it means, but I think you just need to get, you know, just follow the protocols and let's see how it goes and test. And if there's specific foods, if it's not specific foods, that makes a difference. The B lady, high blood glucose and inflammation. I think Dr. Allen did a really good job of explaining that at the beginning of the call. Audrey, results from CRP, vitamin D, C-peptide, and insulin, CRP 9.3, ouch. Vitamin D 2.6, ouch. An obese limits sun exposure due to basal cell carcinoma, started exercising, everything else. So you need to get your vitamin D up, so since you can't get out in the sun, supplementation is the only way. A vitamin D3K2 is going to be your best bet. With those numbers and given those CRP numbers, I would do like 10,000 or more, even up to 20,000 for 6 weeks to 3 months, and then immediately retest it. Don't go that long with that until you retest it. As far as that CRP, you got to get your blood sugar under control. And it sounds like your insulin. What does insulin within normal limits for the lab is not insulin within normal limits for us. So if that insulin was between 2 and 5, great. If it was higher than that, then not great. And so there's some insulin going on. Vitamin D and CRP is super, super high. And that puts you at a lot of risk for inflammatory diseases, autoimmune. I don't know your history. Maybe you have an autoimmune disease that's been diagnosed, but with the CRP that high, you really need to take major steps to get it down. Getting your blood glucose under control, your insulin levels normalized. I would say your A1C is missing from this, so I don't know what your A1C is. I would like to know that to get a complete picture. What's your cholesterol? What's your triglycerides? What's your HDL? There's a lot of stuff there. I would also say that with it that high, you want to be doing some really major things to address the inflammation. You want to find out why it's that high. Where is the inflammation? Is it cardiovascular? I highly recommend an advanced lipid panel with numbers that high because you've got a lot of risk there and you need to reduce that risk. I would also look at anti-inflammatory things like the omega-3s. We have a whole section about that in the nutrition part. I would do omega-3s, and I would look at ginger and turmeric as far as helping with the inflammation. Jeanette says, can high blood glucose be a hidden dental infection or other kind of infection like gut infection? Yes, it can because it's a stress on the body. So any stress on the body, anything your body perceives as stress, causes cortisol to go up, which causes glucose to go up. So, yeah, if you suspect any of that stuff, it's important to look at that. Barb the Bee Lady, can you please explain the link between high, we went through that one. They're not going forward, they're going backwards. Kathleen says, how do you get labs done? Where do you go for a blood draw? Do you get results via email? Great question. We had Dr. Allen on at the beginning. I don't know if you were there or not, but if you go to runmylabs.com, we put together a panel, which is at the beginning. It's the sweet spot panel, and he gave us a really screaming deal as far as pricing. You can run that. If you just want to get a few labs done, you can go down below. He has a whole bunch of drop-down menus that you choose, and then they send you a requisition form, and it takes a few hours before it gets there because they have to run it through a doctor to approve it, and then they send you the results by email. Giovanni, sweet spot to lower chronic hypertension. Heard that insulin resistance is a probable cause. Yeah. When I take my blood sugar now, I'm low when fasting, 65 to 72, and below 110 after meals. My blood pressure is high, though. Any suggestions? So there's a lot of things that can cause hypertension. I would also get some of those other tests done just to really rule out that the blood sugar is okay. And then magnesium, one of the supplements we do in here, is a super important for keeping your blood pressure under control. But it's really a matter of finding out why, making sure that you don't have any blockages. I would look at your advanced lipid panel to make sure that that is in range, because the advanced lipid panel, you can have some tendencies to clot. There are some supplements you'd have to look into to bring it down, but you just want to make sure that you know why it's high. So I would say things like natokinase, it's an enzyme that decreases clots. That can be helpful. There's a company called Restorative Formulations that has an HTN formula, HTN as in hypertension, and you have to sign up and get an account there, and you have to be referred by a practitioner. But my number there, if you go in there and sign up as your account, they'll ask you your practitioner number. My number is, if anybody wants this, write it down. I'll say it twice, 5-1-2-3-4-9-9-6-7-7. I know it's long. I'm going to give it to you again. 5-1-2-3-4-9-9-6-7-7. So Linda wants me to talk about low blood sugar for a bit, but there's a lot to talk about there, and it depends on what. So are you asking for low blood sugar all day long, low blood sugar like 3 hours after a meal, which would be reactive hypoglycemia? So, you know, it's an imbalance in the blood glucose regulation system, and low blood sugar is on the continuum that leading towards insulin resistance, and it's usually in an earlier stage. Can blood sugar become dysregulated due to hidden infection? Oh, that was asked before. That was asked twice, three times. That's kind of weird that it shows up three times. And the dental gums. Intermittent fasting, can you recommend this? Good for insulin. It's awesome. And not everybody can do it. So people in extreme adrenal fatigue can have a problem with it. There's so many flavors of intermittent fasting. In our timing module, we have like a 19-page paper that talks about it. But one way of intermittent fasting is like once or twice a week, you just go from dinner to dinner or lunch to lunch or breakfast to breakfast. So you just do one meal and that each day, but it's 24 hours between them. Another way you can do it is to extend the window of fasting from your last meal to your first. So you can start with 12 hours, which is not really intermittent fasting, and then go to 13 hours, and then go to 14, and then go to 15, and see how far you could extend it. It seems like 16 hours seems to get the best results in terms of lowering insulin and glucose. Vanessa, okay, we mentioned that before. Let me see. Barbara, okay, I talked to Barbara. Delia from Mesa, Arizona. We talked about that before. I got Jeannie's. I think I got most of these earlier. Got that. What reasons would there be if you don't seem to be absorbing D3? Well, the avocado doesn't assist the, I don't think, the likes of avocado assist. You can have some genetic SNPs. There's a lot of them out there that make it more difficult. It could be like if you're taking capsules, the capsule around it, you may not have enough stomach acid to break it down. I would recommend like a micellized version of D or a sublingual version of D. Jay, what are the negatives of taking metformin? It's not addressing the problem. Every drug has side effects, and it causes an increase in the liver's need to do detoxing. But sometimes it's necessary temporarily. Oh, Audrey, you had surgery. Great. All right, that's why your CRP may have been high, but I would wait like a month or two, 6 weeks, probably a good one, and then do it again. Beatrice, what's the marker for heart disease? There's a lot of markers, Beatrice. There's the elevated triglycerides, elevated cholesterol. There's C-reactive protein. And then in the advanced lipid panel, there's the high level of LDL buoyant. Elizabeth, I feel fine, have a little fat to lose, but it's important to get the test done. You don't have to. It's just really a good idea if you're, you know, it's more of an idea for people who have some chronic illness and who have some issues. You're here. Like for the average person, I think everybody should get a hemoglobin A1C at one point in their life. Maybe you want to do it after the end of the program just to see what the numbers are. Can we repeat the resources for optional blood tests? Runmylabs.com. And that leads you to my page with the special panels that we put together on yourlabwork.com. Yeah, so if you go to runmylabs.com, you'll get to my page that has the special, which is the sweet spot thing that we set up. We also have a keto panel on there. Vanessa, I'm sorry, but this is not the appropriate call to interpret. This is sweet spot, but we can do it on the body balance call. On Keto Mojo, besides sugar, HCT and HB come up. Is there any importance or optimal range? What I've found with them, I'm not 100% sure I trust them all the time because I see a variety of ranges. Ideally, hemoglobin, you want to see it like 14-ish. Hematocrit, somewhere in the neighborhood, if you're female, around 3.9 to like 4.2. Hemoglobin could be like, you know, 13 is a little on the low side, but 13.5 to 15. Yeah, Reese says whenever I measure ketones, I get it lower below 0.1, what needs to do to increase ketones. Some people keto adapt fast, some people keto adapt slow. You're going to have to get carbohydrates lower. Watch your blood sugar meter and see where you go, how high it goes. And if you're having foods that are still raising it, fasting is the best way. Intermittent fasting is a really good way to raise those ketones. Like some people, like I think it was Jeannie wrote in before, she just wasn't doing anything special. There are some special things you can do to increase the speed at which you get there. There's MCT powder, there's MCT oil, there's exogenous ketones, but I think intermittent fasting is one of the best ways that it's done. Lynn, if you can address the Elmer and Sandy issue of what's going on with their technology. Catherine, first AM glucose, I have the impression it's best to test ASAP. ASAP, I do it in bed. Trouble getting my bloods from my fingertips that early before rehydrating. So you keep water at your bedstand. I keep a jar of water with a lid that has a straw in it, and I drink that in the morning. So you can take it when you get up. Just at one point, try to test it and see if it's the same. Maria, I think we talked about that, about how do we stir fry veggies without oil. There's a whole set of videos on YouTube you can find out. It's basically using water or a broth. When you say soak grains overnight, do you mean acids like whey or apple cider vinegar? I usually do it in water, and I don't recommend whey because whey raises insulin levels but doesn't raise your sugar. So it's not a good thing for insulin resistance. A whole bunch of questions from Marila in Berkeley. I heard that duck eggs are less likely to cause an allergic reaction. They are, and any eggs that are organically raised and the chickens get to run around, you know, like they're supposed to, there's a lot of things that are going to be better, but the commercial eggs are highly allergenic. Marila said also she tried the lime pie, better than expected to be, even though I didn't have enough lime juice. I had 4 large limes, but it only gave me 1/2 cup. I needed 3/4, and I only had coconut milk instead of coconut yogurt. The crust was absolutely scrumptious, and it was fun to discover goji berries. Yum! That's a recipe we have on my blog. Trisha, wasn't able to get the 3 tests through my MD. fasting insulin, HSC, or PC peptide? Would it be helpful to get them done? I'm going through a union week one, 4 to 10, 11. Should I start the results, the reset when I get back? Can I eat eggs if my cholesterols are okay and I don't notice a reaction? I'd recommend that you don't, because a lot of the reactions are, I don't know what your history is, right? So I don't know how much inflammation you have, how much weight you have to lose, and why you're here. But I'm a big fan of going off those six foods plus sugar. Every time I change my eating patterns, I get constipation. So you might have lower stomach acid. That's another thing to look at. Helpful to get these tests done? Sure. I think it's helpful for anybody to get them done. Mandatory? No. Since you're going for a reunion, here's what I find. If people start when they get back, then you splurge and you go crazy. And that's going to make the reset take longer to kick in. So I'd say start it and just do it while you're traveling. I pretty much can eat like this when I'm traveling. Dr. Witten, this is Angela in Minneapolis. Dr. Witten, get many tests through Medicare. Yeah. TSH 9.92, that's high. Homocysteine 13.8, that's high. Free T3 is 1.38, that's very, very low. Free T4.92 is low. B12, I don't consider a good test. Magnesium, glucose 88, like Marsha, I wanted the Libre meter, but my doctor didn't even entertain my preference since I'm not diabetic. What is the Gentile? The Gentile is a lancet, and the lancet it's a very gentle one, so it doesn't hurt your fingers or bruise your fingers. Some people are very sensitive. I still have to get all the drinks and protocols since I have been missing in action. I work evenings, missed all but one of the park call. Didn't complete any sheet, really finding I'm overwhelmed due to brain fog, and I just hate smoothies and puddings. Textures matter. So skip the smoothies and puddings and do your best to just eat lots of veggies, hopefully plant-based fats. I tell you, just doing that makes a huge difference. Okay, that one I already answered. Answered that. Yeah. Well, Marilla, I didn't get a form from you. That's why I didn't mention your name. So I just answered the questions you typed into the chat. The people I mentioned their names, they took the time before the call to fill out their form and give me all their numbers and all the information and to make it much easier to answer questions. Jeanette, again, that question keeps coming up. I lost weight with Dr. Hyman's plan. My skin is dry without oil. I used oil. I think you're better off not using oil. I think you're better off using whole food plant-based fats. Okay, we have time for a couple more questions, and I think there's only a couple, if any. Nope, no more. Oh, wait, it's coming back. Let me see. A couple of these questions were for Lynn, so I'm going to just let Lynn answer them in the chat. DHA is an omega-3, Mark. Yes, yes, yes. No, your questions were all answered, Marilla. And you got to go in the order they come in, and people who do things in advance get higher priority. That's all I just say.
You see a question in there from Linda Liu about the and trying to go back and look regarding the 3-hour peak?
I didn't. I'm trying to skip these, and I'm seeing the same questions over.
I didn't. Oh, yeah, she did. It was towards the beginning. Can you tell me what it means when a person's blood sugar peaks at 3 hours?
I did answer that. I said I don't know what it means. I'd have to know a lot more about you, and I'd have to see your charts, and, you know, a lot more. I can't just say what it means because it's going to mean different things for different people. And, Michelle, instead of using oil, you add whole food plant-based fats. Okay, I think we're done. Michelle, and I think we had my thing is dying again. Okay, Mark, I got Marilla. Okay, great. All right, so guys, thanks for your patience. There are a lot of people on these calls, and I'm willing to stay as long as I need to get your questions answered. But you do need to be patient. If you want to get top priority and get your questions answered first, the best way to do it is to fill out that form. I open those forms up. Most calls, the last two calls, there was just like seven people that filled out the form. If you fill them out, I answer them in the order that they came in. So, and that gives me lots of background information. So I'm not just in the dark. Like, I can't answer a question about why does it peak at 3 hours. I know nothing about you. And I don't know what you've been eating, what you've been drinking. I need to see more of that, okay? So here's what I'm going to recommend for everybody is follow the program, do the testing, start to eliminate the foods that we say are hurting your blood sugar, start to include more of the foods that are helping it, print out the document, the metabolic reset document, and you can find it on the extras tab as well as on the metabolic reset pages, and start to eat more from the green. On the ones in the red, get rid of them, just start eliminating them completely. And in the yellow, then you're going to test, and as long as they don't raise your sugar, and then some of them you're going to eat, but you're going to eat them with lots and lots of greens. The program works when you do it. So when people ask me, well, what if I, can I continue to eat this, that, or the other thing? If it's in the avoid column, then I can say you can if you want to, but I can't predict your results if you do. I've tested this. I've been doing this program as a group program for like 8 years, and I've been doing it with my clients in my practice for 27 years. So I know what's been working. Now, we're going to fine-tune it for you. We're going to personalize it for you. But the truth of the matter is, and when you ask me, can I continue to eat maple syrup or can I continue to eat eggs? I don't know what that result is going to be on you. I would err on the side of caution and eliminate the things I recommend you eliminate. Follow the reset. The people that follow have the best results. As Beatrice said on a call earlier, she said, I just followed what she told me to do. She ended up losing 110 pounds, reversing Hashimoto's, getting off all medication, and is 74 years old and vibrantly healthy. So that's what I want for all of you. That's what I want for all of you. And she didn't question. She came to the calls and asked lots of questions, but she didn't question, well, can I continue to do this even though you told me not to? I don't want to answer those questions anymore. It's on the list, right? In order to get results from this metabolic reset, you're going to have to avoid everything that's red. And I know it's hard. This isn't easy. But it's not easy to be overweight. It's not easy to have Hashimoto's. It's not easy to have diabetes. It's not easy to have a heart attack. It's not easy to have inflammation and joint pain. And if this is easier than that, but it's major overhaul, and I totally get it, and I totally am patient, and I totally understand you want to, you know, ease in. Guess why we've given you a whole month. You've got the whole month of May to play and figure things out. But starting on June 1st, I want you off everything red, and I want you off everything that's in yellow that you've tested that has raised your sugar. And I want anything you haven't tested in yellow, don't eat. The stuff in the green is mostly your whole food plant-based fats, your non-starchy vegetables, and organic, free-range, pastured meat or fish. That's it. And you can do it. You can do it. I've been doing it for a lot of years, 8 years very specifically. And I feel great all the time. And if you want to feel great all the time and you want your sugar numbers to be good and you want to decrease your risk, then just follow it. I mean, it's not that long. And then after the 30 days, we're going to see what your results are and we're going to gradually include things back while you test. So, Lynn, is there anything else that you want to say? Oops, where are you? There you are.
Yep, I'm here. Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm impressed that you are all here.
Yes.
You heard the message that Dr. Rita Marie shared with the webinars, And some of you came on those webinars time and time again. And there was just something in there that spoke to you, and you listened to that, and you signed up. And you're here today on this call because you know there's something that is in here that's calling to you to do, and you're each doing it by showing up. And so each step you take is doing that. If you're doing the Inspired Health Vision System, you're doing the program. Whether or not you prick your fingers, it doesn't matter. You're still doing the program. I mean, it's great, and as I've mentioned before, I hate needles, but I still managed to do it. And you just learn so much. My curiosity actually just outrode my fear of the needles, and what I started to see, and you're starting to see it too because you're asking questions that show this. Look at these patterns that are showing up, and it's not always the food. Sometimes it's the exercise, sometimes it's my sleep or lack thereof, sometimes it's when I'm angry or stressed, and it puts you in the driver's seat. You are no longer just a canary in the coal mine letting somebody else experiment on you. You get to say, hey, these are the choices I'm making. And you're getting that positive response from your body each time you make a choice, each time you make a choice to travel and bring your own food or to decide to fast your intermittent fast. Each choice you make is you proclaiming that this is your time and you are bringing yourself back into balance so that you can be fully there for yourself and everybody else. And that's what I have to say.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to everybody who's here.
Yeah, and I'm glad you too. And sometimes it may sound like I'm you know, being mama and nagging or whatever, but I want results for you. I want results like Barbara just was talking about, how she's down in the non-diabetic range within 2 weeks, or like Jeannie said about just dropping 5 pounds without even trying, you know, and it's not that hard when you set your mind to it and you set your heart to it. And I mean that, like, okay, I want this result. I want this result very much, and whether it be I don't want a cancer recurrence, whether it be I want to reverse my diabetes, whether it be I just want to have energy to live my life again, these are all the things that you're working towards. And I recommend, like we say in the Inspired Health Vision System, which is in very early part of the program, is that you make index cards and you put that big goal on the index card. You put it on the refrigerator. You put it near wherever the food is. And when you're going on a trip, like Lynn said, think about it in advance. Call up if you're going to a wedding or a reunion and let the chef know that you need some special food. You want a big salad and some steamed veggies and some avocado, right? And be very grateful and happy with that. All right, so we're going to go. I'm going to open up your lines so I can say goodbye to everybody.
Thank you.
Baby shower. Thank you. Baby shower. Oh, I thought you said baby shower.